Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. It's good to be with you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the place. When we actually do it, more than we talk about it. Welcome, everybody. Yeah. Really, really good to be with you. And it's Thursday night. We're going to be praying for offense tonight, over offense tonight, and anybody else who texts me and lets me know you're there. And we'll be doing that tonight, so get ready for that. All right. Also, in a minute, we have a video on. So, we'll be getting in there and praying for you, believing God for you to get the blessing that you need, whatever information you need to open you up to the river of God, the eternal flow of the Holy Spirit, literally, and because it is alive and well as of today, as of yesterday. As of forever, and it literally is alive and well forever. All right, so we are here and glad to be with you. So join in there. Let's get the video going. What do you say? What's happening? All right, we're going to be taking communion tonight, so make sure and get your communion ready, and so we can. At communion and get ready for activating our covenant with God on a regular basis, right? Yeah. So you want to activate your covenant. You want to remind yourself. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, because you're reminding yourself. In the world today, we have everything trying to remind us that God's not our source. We have everything trying to get us into captivity, saying, let me be your source, trust in me, believe in me. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to be your source. I'm going to be a life. I'm going to be your life. I'm going to be your provision. And so, So what's going on here? What's going on here? What is this? Called Johnny Winning Day. Okay, let's go here and see why it's a network connection error. I don't think so. I'll pull my glasses off. All right, as I talk to myself, I'm talking to y'all and trying to get the video going on here. So, there's something lacking here. June 2021, yep, that's it. Okay. We're going to try it again. And it might sound like it's working, but it's going to act like it's not. So I don't know. All right, anyway, we're going to go here, and thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for everything you do, for PGN, and for the Lord. You've been it for the Lord, of course. And we thank you for that, which even though we appreciate it. Your obedience to God is really cool, especially getting things done for the kingdom. And, here we go. All right. Got some really cool things I want to share with you tonight, so get ready for them. I'm going to be opening up the Word in just a moment, sharing some prophetic revelation, some prophecy, prophetic prophet revelation, that's all I can say. That's what it is. So I'm going to be prophesying to you some really powerful things tonight that I think you need to hear. And so we're going to get going here. All right, we're going to kind of get rolling as we go. All right, everybody, we are going to pray over office tonight. I think I've already said that once, but to let you know that's what's happening tonight. Plus, we're going to be prophesying. I'm going to be speaking some things that I've been seeing go on right now, kind of what we do pretty much on a regular basis. So get ready for that. I believe that you're really going to be blessed by tonight's information. I hope that you will. It was powerful for me today as I got it from the Lord. And, so let's get rolling here with it. Hang on a second. Let me get this thing here. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I think we're cooking. With anointing. There we go. All right. Okay, so you want to call into the show, you can go 319-527-6027. We also have video on tonight if you want to watch video. You can do that. We're going to be ministering to you about some really cool things God has given me to minister about tonight. I got it fresh today. We're going to talk about being rich tonight, what rich, even financially. Rich for some people is going to be $1,000 a month. Rich for others is going to be, $100,000 a month. So we're going to talk about being rich tonight, and literally physically, and what God says about it. And so I think that you'll be maybe be glad that you tuned in, because you're going to learn some things tonight. How God shops for wealth, how He shops. God goes shopping. He goes shopping for wealth. Yeah, it's really cool. Some people say he goes hunting for it. Maybe he goes hunting for it. Maybe he goes shopping for it. Maybe he goes fishing for it. Whatever you want to say, he's doing it. And it's really amazing. And you'll see tonight, I'm going to show you tonight how God shops, how God hunts for wealth. He knows where it's at, but because we don't, he takes us on a little thing, and it's like a hunting trip, right, or a fishing trip with bait. A fishing trip with, we have bait and we throw the line in and the whole thing, go fishing for the Lord. And fishing for wealth. We're going to talk about fishing for wealth tonight and how God has done it in the past. Kind of amazed me when I laughed almost for about an hour off and on after he showed me how this works. It, to me, was hilarious. It may not be to you, but it was hilarious to me. And, I just thought it was, wow, what a way to reveal something there. I mean, it's really cool. So put your seatbelt on, get ready to run around the room, because I'm going to reveal some things tonight that I think will be very amazing. Let's say, because we're going to mainly focus on Abraham tonight. Abraham is my second favorite. I think Abraham's my second favorite. Jesus first, of course. And as a human being who came into the earth, God who came into the earth and lived as a man. And then also we have Abraham. Abraham is one of my favorite because I love his spirit. I love the spirit of Abraham. He was kind of like sassy, but in a holy way. He was holy sassy. He was holy sassy, or sassy in a holy way. All right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about a little sassy, holy Abraham tonight and how God sent him on these trips, man. He didn't even know he was going hunting. He didn't even know he was going fishing for wealth. He didn't have a clue. All he knew is that God promised him, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. And when he told him that, he told him that before he left. You can read it for yourself later. I'm not going to go to that scripture about that, but you know where he told him when he left his mother and father and was going to go toward, a land that God would show him, which he didn't really know where that was. And so he was going to a land that God would show him. And so in the process of that, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. So he tells him that on a way as he kind of gets started on his little trip, like what a way, what a promise to start a trip on, like, okay, so thanks God for, the trip information, because we're going on a little trip here and you're telling me that you're going to bless those who bless me. Wow, that's awesome. You're going to curse those who curse me. Wow. I mean, whatever that means. Yeah. And so Abraham heard that, and I don't know how, whether he believed it or not exactly. I'm not sure how much he believed it at first, because just like all the rest of us, just like all the rest of us, it's like we get told these really awesome things, and then we kind of go on a little trip like, I wonder if that really means exactly what he says it means. I mean, I just really wonder if that's really, I don't know. Is it really what he means? It's like, you know, did God really say we couldn't eat of that tree? Like, did Eve, you know, the enemy came to Eve and said, has God really said? You know, how many of you, including myself, have heard that many times in many different ways about promises, about prophecies, about things that God's trying to tell us? We really, we don't use the same exact word, but we say, has God really said that to me, or is it just my imagination? Or is it God in my imagination? Yeah. What's going on? And so so God began to speak to Abraham, and he was on a trip. He was on his trip. He was on his way to find a promised land. And in finding that promised land, God told him that. So he, on his way to the promised land, he gets up near around Egypt, and the Lord says, he didn't really say this out loud, but it's like the Lord's telling the angels, this is going on in the heavenly realm. Okay, guys, let's go fishing. Let's go hunting for wealth. We're going to hunt for wealth. We're going to fish for wealth. And God is very strategic and very amazing the way he puts things together and how he wants to bless his people. Wealth can be just whatever you need, an extra. Some people, the extra is a lot more than other people's. But God wants everybody to be blessed. I don't know if everybody's going to be rich or filthy rich, but he wants us to be wealthy. Some people pay $1,000 a week, they feel like they're wealthy, right? And so here's how Abraham did not even know this. He didn't have a clue what was going on, but he knew that when he was approaching Egypt, he knew how men are, especially men in authority can be. And it's like he goes to Sarah. He says, Sarah, you are a very beautiful woman, and I really like the way you look. But not only do I like the way you look, we're going to go into a place where they're going to see how beautiful you are, and I know how people are. They're going to want you. So instead of them finding out that I'm your husband and they kill me to get you so you no longer have a husband, I want you to tell them that you're my sister. Yeah, so she goes, okay, and it was partially true. It was, you know, half. They were half brothers and sisters, so they kind of told a half truth, right? So they get in there in Egypt, and when you read the story, you start seeing that God was going fishing for wealth, and the bait he was going to use was going to be absolutely mind-boggling. Some of you may get offended at this. I don't know. Some of you may get happy about it. Just depends on how you look at things. But just come out and tell you, Sarah was the bait for the hook of getting the wealth to Abraham. Sarah was the bait, y'all. She was the bait. So sure enough, they get into Egypt, and the bait is out there, beautiful Sarah. And God had, you know, Abraham's already told Sarah how beautiful she is. Get ready. And sure enough, what happened? They came and they said, oh, you are beautiful. Is this your husband? And she goes, no, that's my brother. And he goes, yeah, that's my sister. And so they go, well, we want her. Just like Abraham, like he knew what was going to happen with this beautiful woman. So there goes the bait. The bait has been taken by the fish. And taken by the king, by Pharaoh, and because they wanted all the beautiful women they could get, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what was that about that, but so they get in there, and sure enough, nobody has sexual relationships with her yet, but they're thinking about it because, you know, they're working on it, trying to get her to, you know, to know them and them know them, and eventually going to, you know, get to know each other and have a relationship. That's just kind of what they did, have children, you know. And have beautiful children and smart children because she was very smart and very beautiful. So the bait was taken in the mouth of the man who had the welt. And sure enough, as soon as he starts to swallow the bait, a curse comes on the whole crew, all the family. None of the family all of a sudden could bear children. They all of a sudden, their wombs dried up. They were like, they were always getting pregnant. Why? Because they loved kids. They wanted children. They wanted to increase and multiply their tribes and their people. And it was a beautiful thing. And because they had taken Sarah in, they'd taken the bait that they had been baited with by God, you know, so now it's like, oh, my gosh, wow, look at this. We're cursed. And they finally figured out, I don't know how they figured it out, but I think God gave them a dream or something and showed them. Said, you know, Pharaoh, you better be careful and not be having sexual relationship with Sarah, because that's Abraham's wife. And so they found out that it was truly his wife. And so Pharaoh goes and says, how come you didn't tell me you guys were married? And they say, well, because, you know, we figured that here in Egypt, you guys weren't very honest and you were, you know, you might do some really bad things to me. And so we just kind of made a deal, and that's what it was. And so Pharaoh goes, you know, he realized how powerful the curse was on him, in that anybody who takes somebody's, you know, wife, even without it, they weren't robbing him, robbing his wife. They agreed that they were brother and sister, right? So they didn't rob them. They didn't do anything wrong. And yet at the same time, because God was protecting Abraham and protecting Sarah, that a curse came on those around. And so what happened was, when Pharaoh found it out, he goes back and kind of rebuffs Abraham a little bit, but he knows one thing. He said, this, in order for this to happen, for my whole family to be cursed, and nobody in our harem or whatever it was can bear children, you must be one powerful dude. So there's something about you. We don't know what it is. We don't know what God you serve, because we have a bunch of them around here. We don't know who it is, but whoever it is more powerful than our God. So we want to give you all kinds of money, all kinds of cattle, sheep, camels. And I mean, friend, they loaded him up with so much blessing and wealth that he walked out of Egypt with the best shopping spree Sarah had ever been on, I guarantee you. The best shopping spree that Abraham had ever been on, I guarantee you, so far. And you see the setup there. It's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. God set all that up. Now, Abraham didn't have a clue what was going on. He didn't know he was shopping for wealth. He just knew something was up when they get into Egypt, that they're going to want his wife, and so let's make a deal so I don't die. And so sure enough, you know, he walks out of Egypt. Pharaoh goes, man, we got to bless this guy because, wow, we just got cursed. So to get cleansed of that curse, we're going to have to, you know, we want to bless him. We want to take care of him because he's powerful. He's amazing. They loaded him up with more wealth hardly than he could handle. And he takes off and goes down the road. And then a little bit later, God decides to go shopping in another place. And so this time, that was in Genesis 12, verse 15. It says in Genesis 12 that Pharaoh treated Abraham well for her sake. And Abraham acquired sheep and cattle and male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. In other words, a lot of money. Yeah, Egypt did that. That was long before Israel ever went into Egypt and God, you know, took down Egypt's financials for the sake of his people. That was a lot. This is about 500 years, maybe 600 years before that, something like that, maybe 500 something years before that happened. And look at what happened here, man. This is absolutely mind-boggling. And then he decides to go fishing again. I never even realized this today. In fact, he went fishing three times. I'm going to give you two of them tonight. We'll do another one later. So he goes to Gerar, which is a whole other place, Genesis chapter 20. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, 2 and 3. And he goes to Gerar, which is a city somewhere, and where King Abimelech was. And he goes in and says the same thing. Look, I want you to look at this, Frank, because it's gonna blow your mind. I want you to look at this. So he goes into Egypt. Abraham didn't have a clue God was going fishing for wealth or hunting for wealth or shopping for wealth with Sarah for Sarah and Abraham for his promised seed, right? Goes shopping in Egypt. Now, God likes shopping in Egypt for some reason because we know he does it later on. Even Jesus went into Egypt. Remember when they were going to come after Jesus and they started killing all the kids? Even he went into Egypt. Right, so there's something about Egypt. I don't know what it is, but God likes to go shopping in Egypt. And so he went shopping in Egypt. They walked out with male and female sheep and cattle and donkeys and servants, male and female, even gave them servants and camels and male and female camels, you know, because you have to have that produced. So he walks out with wealth. A little while later, in Genesis 20, chapter 20, verse 2, you'll see it. They do the same thing. God is playing this thing, man. He's got – now Abraham's like, oh, man, this is cool. What happened last time? Let's see if we can do that again. I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but he realized that the way God shops or the way God goes hunting for wealth or fishing for wealth. And so he gets a hold of this thing. He goes to Genesis chapter 20, to Gerar, and where King Abimelech is, and there Abraham said of his wife, she's my sister. Same thing. Did the same exact same thing. She's my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night. Now watch, see the process here. Because God comes into a dream and tells the king, oh, you done messed up, boy. You have really messed up, Abimelech. Gives him a dream. God. Verse 3, Genesis 20, verse 3, God comes to Abimelech in a dream, the king, has a lot of money, a lot of wealth. One night, he gives him a dream and said to him, you are good as dead. Honestly, that's what he said, rephrase that. You are good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. And so the same thing happens again. And God just blesses Abraham again. This is it's like God had a good thing going on here. He knows how to shop. He knows just how to shop or go hunting or go fishing for wealth, friend. And Abraham started getting his wealth. He got a lot of wealth from Egypt. You know, this is right after he left his mother and father, and he was on his way to Canaan land trying to search out the land. He got to the, wait a minute. I got to do a little shopping in Egypt before we go to the Canaan land, before you start walking the land. You're going to need some cattle and sheep and female donkeys and male and female donkeys and male and female servants. You're going to need some camels. So he loads him up in Egypt. Then he goes to Gerar, and kind of the same thing happens there. So Abimelech blesses him, and all because God says, hey, we're fishing for some of your money. And now that you've taken the bait, now you're going to take care of Abraham because that's my man. That's my man. So the same thing happened again. And it also happened. He also took wealth in other ways. Now, the reason I bring this up is because Abraham was not a person to take wealth because he had this attitude. He had an attitude that you need to get. An attitude, friend, that you need to get and I need to get. And that is, ain't nobody going to make me wealthy but God. So when some man tries to come up to me and say, tie strings to some blessing they want to give me, and tie strings to it and tell me, tie string, you just tell them, I don't want your money. I don't want it. That's what Abraham told. We're going to read it here in a second. That's what Abraham told him. He said, you know what? Ain't no man going to make me wealthy. Because they just been through this battle. This is all in, let me go here. going to read this to you. This is really awesome. You got to see this stuff, man. What God gave me today. What kind of heart you have for God to make you wealthy. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is amazing, friend. Wait till you see this stuff. I mean, the way God put it together for me today was just today. I mean, literally, God in a moment is today. This happened today. And so I put a bunch of information that I've had, but he goes here to, let's see here. Here we go. So Genesis 14, verse 18, let's go to the New King James just for the fun of it. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, we're going to find out what kind of heart you have to have in order to become wealthy for God, or blessed, or made rich by God. All right? We're going to find that out. All right, so let's go here and see how it happens. All right, so we know that in this chapter, Lot's captivity, Lot had been made a captive, and Abraham was going to rescue him, and so in the meantime, there's a war going on, and with some kings, and there's, make a long story short, Abraham was in on it, and so long story short, Abraham had some booty coming from this thing, and some of it he refused because of who gave it to him, and he did not want anybody to go around saying anybody made him rich. No man made him rich but God. But yet you see where Abraham just took two times, and there's really three times where he took money and property and land, or took things from people. So it's not that Abraham was against it. It's like, There's a reason why sometimes you don't take things that people even want to give you. You're going to have to learn this, friend. I'm having to learn it too. There's sometimes you don't want to take things that people want to give you. Maybe even in a sense it belongs to you. But when it's not of God, you want to make sure that you don't let a rumor go out. Well, you know, I made you rich, or I gave you that money. I did this for you, because that's what Abraham's attitude was. And he says that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. And he says, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me. And he said, let them take their portion. So he let them take some portion. But Abraham himself said, that it was coming from the king of Sodom. And sometimes when the flesh wants to give you things through people, they want to tie strings to it. They want to, you know, whine and complain about whatever it is, like to obligate you to them instead of them giving it to God, to you, whether it's in your business or your personal life or your ministry or whatever it is. When you see that going on, friend, cut those strings and don't receive it. Cut those strings and don't receive it. You still love the people. You still love, always love people. But sometimes people try to make you rich or bless you with their blessing. And there's always strings attached to it. And sometimes the thing is just not God because of the way it's coming about. It becomes unclean. This was the king of Sodom said to Abraham, just give me the persons or the people or the souls, the people, and take the goods for yourself. So there must have been a lot of goods. This is all in Genesis 14, verse 18, 19, and 20, 21 in there. And so Sodom, the king of Sodom, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, came to Abraham and said to him, give me the people from this battle. You know, they captured the people, and take the goods for yourself. So it must have been a lot of goods. It must have been a whole lot of goods, because Abraham says, ain't nobody going to say, no man's going to say, I have made Abraham rich. Only God is going to make me rich. Friend, you have to build that into you. I'm going to tell you stories sometime, maybe tonight, maybe later. I'm going to tell you stories of how things have happened to me over the years where, you know, I could have taken opportunity to take money that was being given to me. I didn't manipulate for it, didn't try to go for it, didn't try to, say, I'll do something for you. You did. People, and because of the circumstances, God would not let me take the money. And I'm talking about multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sitting there right in front of me, writing a check, saying to me, to my face, and God, in Christ I lie not to you when I tell you this, sitting right in front of me, writing a check, a wealthy woman who was about the age of my grandmother, and her husband was a wealthy man, and he had passed away, and she was a real woman of God, and she sat in front of me at the table. I just ministered at her place, and she knew what I was doing. She knew that I needed that I was believing God for some big things, and she says, "Randy, I want to write you a check for what you need. In other words, what amount do you want?" They weren't billionaires. They had billionaires back in that time, but they were millionaires, and I had a lot of money, Her husband had. I don't want to give too much information away because may give away who they are. I don't want to embarrass them because some of the things that were going on were embarrassing. But her husband was in a position, in a pretty high position, you might say, in a good position, and made a lot of money. And he had passed away, and she was a dedicated, lovely woman, a dear lady. And I was about 30-something at the time, and she was like in her late 60s, 70s, somewhere in there, and just precious, precious woman of God. But there's some things, the reason I can't give too much information about it, but I'm telling you tonight, in Christ, I lie not when I tell you this happened to me. And she sat in front of me. I've never told this story before. It's a brand-new story. And God told me when he gave me this message tonight to tell you something of how if you continue to do what God says and not take money that people don't really want to give you, but they're going to give you anyway and tie strings to it, or that money is coming to you from something that is not right. And that happened to me with this woman. And it wasn't like a nasty, dirty thing. I'm going to tell you the story here in a moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll understand what it was about, that the Lord would not let me take all the money she was offering me. And it was several $100,000. We needed several $100,000s. And so it was a difficult time. It was crazy. And so here we are. We're talking about Abraham, where God said, let's basically put in Abraham's spirit, don't take money that's not right money. And when the king of Sodom was going to give him money that really and booty that really belonged to him, because he fought for it, he labored for it. Abraham labored for it. Abraham just says, I don't want you to pay me. I don't want that money. I ain't going to let anybody, because there was something about this one that Abraham knew it wasn't right money. And he said, ain't nobody going to make me rich but God. But he just took money from Egypt and then Gerar, which was another two kings, Abimelech and Pharaoh. He just got a major amount of wealth from those two places. And there's another place, we'll talk about that one later, about where he got even more wealth. So it's not that Abraham was against taking things from people, because God will use people to bless you. But friend, if that money has strings tied to it in any fashion, not saying that people are evil, but sometimes they tie strings to things, not even realizing they're doing it, and you have to correct it. You have to say, I'm sorry, I really don't want that money. God won't let me take it. And that happened to me in 1987. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to share with you something that's absolutely mind-boggling. But before I do, I want you to hear this. Right before Abraham turned down the money, the wealth from the king of Sodom, when he said, no man's going to make me wealthy, right before that, if you read right above it in verse 18, Abraham had an encounter with Melchizedek. I want you to watch this, because this is extremely important. You must get this in your spirit and in your heart if you want to be wealthy, or if you want to have more than enough. For some people, more than enough will be 1,000 extra a week. For some people, more than enough will be 100,000 extra a week. Whatever your faith is, wherever your calling is, wealth can be a different distributed 30, 60, 100 fold. All right, are you hearing me? Anybody out there listening to me tonight? I want you to hear this. If you don't hear this, you're going to miss something, because I'm giving you a key tonight that's going to change your life. Okay? So please grasp this, because of what we're about to enter into. So Melchizedek, king of Salem, verse 18, brought out bread and wine, and he was the great, he was the priest of the Most High God, and blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram, his name is Abram at this time, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave Melchizedek the tithe, the holy thing, of all. Not some. He gave him a tithe of all. That's 10% of all. Now the king of, then it goes on down. It talks about that next situation. So then it goes on down and talks about the king of Sodom, right? The next, very next scripture talks about where Abraham says, watch the transition here. Abraham gives his holy, the holy thing to God through Melchizedek. There was not many people more, there wasn't anybody higher than Abraham. Abraham was the highest except for Melchizedek. So he offered his tithe to the ministry of Melchizedek, and all of a sudden, right after that, right after he blesses God with his tithe, you'd think, now watch this, I want you got to hear this, man. You would think that Abraham's going to go, okay, I just gave my tithe, so, whoa, here comes King Sodom, and look at here, he's got a lot of wealth. He's going to hand me some more wealth, because that's what happens right here. He's going to hand me, you know, most people when they give, you know, $50 or $50,000 or whatever they give a big seed, they do whatever they're doing, and they turn around and you, somebody comes up to you and says, man, I just feel like I want to bless you with some big money. But you sense there's something wrong with it. Most people aren't going to sense there's something wrong with, I'm going to give you some big money, especially right after you just planted a big, not a seed, but you gave your tithe to God. You're expecting God to bless you. So Abraham's like going, whoa, wow, the king, not the ministers, not the people, not the rich people, the king, the richest person of all, came, the king of Sodom came to Abraham and said, hey, take this booty, man. And Abraham says, nah. I've received things from a lot of kings, from the king of Pharaoh, King Pharaoh in Egypt, and King Abimelech, and others. But you know what? There's something wrong with this money, and I'm sorry. There's something about it that where it's going to make like you made me rich, or what you did as a man trying to do me a favor, even though that's my money, even though I earned that. There's something about it where God tells me to not take any of it, because I don't want anybody saying that any man made me rich. And yet, you see where man made Abraham rich, but it was through the blessing of God. You see God involved in the blessing, because he goes to Egypt, and Sarah was the bait, and then he takes the bait, the Pharaoh takes the bait, and all of a sudden there's a curse on him. What is that? That was of God. God was involved in that. God is the one who did that whole thing. And then he gives them a dream and says, hey, you're messing with a married woman. And he's the one that set it up. Why? Because he was getting wealth. He, God Almighty, was getting wealth for Abraham. Friend, there's ways that God will get wealth for you that may sound crazy. They may sound getting out of the boat and walking on the water type of stuff. It's going to be wild and crazy the way God wants to bless you. But let me tell you something, friend. If you take money, even though it may belong to you, even though you may have worked for it, even though you may deserve it, and God says don't take it, and you take it, it's going to ruin you. It's going to degrade you. And Abraham knew that when the king of Sodom came and said, yeah, you earned this, Abraham. This is your money. This is yours. I'll take the people. We don't have to split the booty. I'll just go ahead and take the people, and you take the booty. Abraham says, not. Even though it's mine, it belongs to me, I worked for it, I labored for this, I'm not going to do, you take it and go give to my friends here, give them their portion, and that's it. Hasta la vista, baby. And that was it. Friend, do you realize what just happened? God, on one hand, caused some unusual circumstance, putting the bait in Pharaoh and king, and two other kings were set up by God for them to share some of their wealth with Abraham in a way that was most unusual, and did it twice. We're going to talk about the other one later. It's amazing. But that was God. That was God doing that. This time, there was something different about it. Well, let me tell you about my little situation, then we'll move on and take communion tonight. I had a situation that, the reason I say in Christ, not I not, because you're going to have a hard time. Some of you may have a hard time believing this, but I can prove it. It's documented. It's a little bit unusual. So that's the reason you hear me say that. When I say that, the reason Paul the Apostle said, in Christ I lie not, in Romans 9:1, was because he was about to say that he cursed himself from Christ for his brothers. That was kind of hard to believe, that a person would curse himself from Christ. Go read it yourself, Romans 9:1. That's in the New Testament, in Romans 9:1, Paul the Apostle said, for my brother's sake, I would be cursed from Christ if I could, for their sake, if it would help them come to Christ. Man, you're talking about a shepherd. Man, you're talking about a man of God. And that's why he had to say, in Christ I lie not. And he said it in other places too. Three of the scriptures, Paul the Apostle plainly says those kind of things exactly. Because some things are hard to believe. Well, what I'm about to tell you may be hard to believe for some people, you know me pretty well, you know, like, okay, we've never heard this one before, but it's wild and crazy, and it is. I was doing some things, and I started a ministry, most of you know, I started a ministry, and it was called in 1984, 85, and that's when I got my corporation papers for 501c3, and I told you guys about that. And that's when I had the vision, or God showed me the George Otis situation. You guys, some of you will remember that. I've shared that a few times, where while I was getting the information for George Otis, it was close to happening. I don't know if it was happening at the very moment, but it was within you know a few hours, maybe a couple of hours. Maybe I've got a little bit more evidence on that. I found some more evidence on that today to clear that up a little bit more, to show you exactly what I'm talking about was exactly true. But that's what that happened in 85. I was in a ministry there in 85. And in 85 is when the George Otis thing happened. And I had Wednesday night services. And I hadn't changed them to Thursday services yet. I used to have Wednesday service and then Thursday service. So I went on Wednesday services. And we had Wednesday services and had, you know, my church was there. The Wednesday crew, you know, teaching and, you know, that kind of thing. And a small group. And so you guys, you've heard me talk about that testimony. I'm not going to repeat it, but that was in 1985, in October, the middle of October 1985, at my little church there. And so when I was at that church, this lady that I was talking about earlier, who sat across the table of her own living room, gonna bless me for being at her ministry, and also made it very plain to me that she wanted to take care of whatever I had dreamed of from God, which was pretty big at the time, and most people knew about it. She knew about it because a lot of her people, she had a kind of like a women's ministry, and a lot of her women would come to my church, and they'd come on Wednesday nights or whatever, on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, and I would prophesy over them, and God would read their mail, and they'd go back and they'd tell her, man, this guy, you know, he's got it going on. This was back in 1985, 86, 87. And so, you know, the rumors started spreading, things started happening. And so, you know, I never even talked to this woman. I didn't knew her, never met her in my life, but I knew she had the ministry. Everybody knew she had it. And so, like I said, some of her women, her people would come to my services And I would call them out and prophesy to them. And they would go back and tell her, you know, Randy Chandler is, you know, the rumors are true. Things, God's doing something there. And so she, you know, connected up on that. She asked me to come to do a meeting at her church, where she had her ministry meetings at. And I went there. It was at the largest church in town, largest charismatic church in town. And she had a meeting there. She asked me to come and do whatever I wanted to do at the meeting because she heard rumors about me. She said, I trust you. Just do whatever you feel led of the Lord to do. And a very dedicated, lovely woman. She was like my grandmother's age. I was like in my middle 30s, somewhere in there. And she was, my grandmother's age, 65, 70 years old, something like that. And just a powerful, strong woman who loved God and was not ashamed of the gospel at all. And like I said, I never talked to her in my life that I know of, ever talked to her. She would talk to me through her people sometimes who came to my meetings. So here I'm going to one of her meetings, right? So we go to her house. She says, come to my house, and I have something for you. I'm going, come to my house. Usually they hand me a check. They hand me a check at the, you know, when you get through ministry and they have a check ready for you most of the time, and they'll bless you with a check, right? And so I didn't get a check. She says, I know, we always pay everybody, you know, like that, but I want you to come to my house. I went, come to your house. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll come to your house, you know. So I followed her, and we put up into the driveway, and I got out, and we went in there, sat in the kitchen, and she sat down, got her checkbook out. She says, how much money do you need? That's what she said. And I'm like thinking, okay, you know, I mean, yeah, you're going to pay me an offering for, you're asking me how much offering do I want for my ministry? I don't ask for offerings, number one. Do I hope I get them? Yeah, but I'm not asking you for an offering. You know, she knew I wasn't asking for an offering because she knew me. Everybody knew that Randy Chandler wasn't after your money, and I wasn't going after that. So I hope I can tell this, you know, clearly so you can get this. So this lady is sitting there, got her check in her hand, said, how much money do you need? And I just got through ministry for her. You don't ask people that. So she was talking about the things that I was, you know, dreaming about doing and had already kind of started doing them. I already started doing some stuff. I don't want to talk about all the details about it, but I started doing some things, and it was very expensive. And I didn't beg for money. Everybody knew I didn't beg for money. Everybody knew I didn't ask for money. I gave them the dream God had given me, and I never raised money, never tried to raise money, never asked for money. Let me get a drink of water. And she's saying to me, how much do you need for your vision? It was a lot of money. I was taught by Pat Robertson in the day that when you had a vision that was big, really big, that usually it would come in with people promoting you, that people gave into your ministry on a regular basis, that's how it would be funded, right? So my mind was never on one person going to cut me a check for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Never even had that thought in my head. Never dreamed about it, never thought it, never even was open to it, because I listened to Pat Robertson. I heard Pat Robertson back in years ago, Building 700 Club. He said, you know, most of the time he would teach about it. When people, when God gives you a vision, that 90% of the time, 99% of the time, it's going to be through people who are dedicated, feel called to your ministry, and they're going to take care of business because God tells them to. And so I was raised on that. I believe that. I thought that. That's what I was looking for. I said, well, we need a strong base. We blah, 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 or no, you know, all this stuff. And so just to the opposite of that, here this woman who was a wealthy woman, her husband made lots and lots of money. They weren't billionaires, but they were in the millionaire realm. Sitting there across the table, you know, knowing I never asked her for a penny. I never even talked to her in my life. Until that day, never. She didn't talk to me. I didn't talk to her. I never even met her before. I just had been to a couple of meetings, and so that was it. So I'm sitting across the room. You have to get the atmosphere here. What's going on? I'm sitting at her house in the kitchen, across, and she's sitting in a chair, and I'm sitting in a chair at the kitchen table, and she says, "How much money do you need?" Nobody knew. I never talked about it that much, but most people knew it was, you know, a lot. And God help me. And so here's the kicker to this thing. This precious woman, this was in 1987, and there's a man who was teaching on in 1988 that there was going to be a rapture, that the church was going to be raptured, pre-tribulation rapture, in 1988. And this is the end of 1986 and 97, somewhere, and I can't remember exactly, I have the exact date on it, but it was before 1988, before September 1988, because that's when he said the rapture is going to happen, in September of 1988. Some of you might remember that. It was well known. I mean, it was well known. And I'm going to read, I'm documenting this tonight, so you have to just give me a moment as I talk about this. All right, so just give me a moment. I'm going to give information here on this. Okay, the rapture theory. Okay, so this guy in 1988, if you want, you can look it up for yourself. This man sold 4.5 million copies of this book about how the rapture was going to happen in September 11th through the 13th of 1988, on Rosh Hashanah. Some of you might remember this. If you don't, Google it. Just look up the 1988 rapture story, or the 1988 rapture, and you'll find it. It's right there for all to see. So this lady that was sitting across the table from me that had this ministry was a strong pre-tribulation rapture person, though everybody knew that I wasn't. I'm not as strong on it now then as I was now that I am now, because I make it really clear now. But everybody knew that I was not a pre-trib rapture person. They all knew it. even back in the 80s, they all knew it, because I never had been a pre-tribulation rapture person at all. So this lady sitting across the table from me asking me how much money I need, which was a lot of money, she says she was very much into this person who preached and taught on this, and she believed with her whole heart, as a lot of people did, that she was going to be raptured off in the rapture in Rosh Hashanah in September the 11th through the 13th in 1988. It spread like wildfire throughout the Christian community, this article says. Christian television stations even began interrupting their regular scheduled programs to air special reports on how to prepare for the rapture. That's how powerful this thing was, 1988. Read the article for yourself. This man sold 4.5 million copies and gave 300,000 copies away to ministers. So at least he gave some. The man made a lot of money off his book, a lot of money off his book. And, friend, this was a situation that this woman very much into. She was sitting across the kitchen table writing a check to me. The reason she was writing me a check, when you read these stories about this, you're going to find out that a lot of people sold their land, sold their properties, because they said, what do we need money and houses and homes for? We don't need them. Read the article yourself. They sold businesses. They said, what do we need money for? We're going to get ready for the rapture. And they got ready for the rapture on September the 11th through the 13th in Rosh Hashanah, 1988. Yeah, the whole Christian world was aflame with this thing, man. Aflamed with it. It was on television, radio, everywhere. I knew about it, but I didn't really, I thought the guy was like kind of goofy. Well, number one, I didn't think he was that goofy, but he was a nice guy. But I didn't believe in the pre-trib rapture, so I said, that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to happen. I knew, because I've never believed in the pre-trib rapture. And this lady did. Most people did. Most of the people of the church, she went to the largest charismatic church in that town. This woman was wealthy and well-known. And here she was giving money to me. You know why she was giving money to me? Because I had a great vision. I never asked for money, never begged for money, never even talked about money, just taught on tithe and offerings, and that was it. And I make a big deal out of that. And everybody knew that that's the way Randy Chandler was and is. They all knew it. So this lady who could have given millions, or not about millions, a million or two to her church, the biggest charismatic church in town, or giving her money anywhere in the world. No, she wants to give it to me. God is my witness. She said, how much do you need? And I knew all about this thing. And they told me, the rumors were, she's really ready, getting ready to go. And she's like, what's this money going to be good for me for? And I'm going to just give it to Randy Shanlon. That's the truth. And we got some people who don't like me, who hate me to this day, will tell you that this is exactly what happened, because they hated me because I didn't do it. I sat across the table and something in me said, don't take that money because you know there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. I knew that I couldn't do it. She got frustrated with me. Honest to God. I mean, she was a sweet lady. She wasn't much with words. But when I told her what I told her, she just went like, what the Sam Heaven is wrong with you, boy? I'm going to give you money. You can fulfill your vision tomorrow. In Christ, I line up to you, friend. I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened. She didn't say this to me, but she's looking at me in this frustration, like, oh, you know, like, not too bad, but she was a very dignified woman, a wealthy, Christian, godly, dignified woman. And God said he wouldn't let me do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Man, it made some people really mad because a lot of people knew what she was going to do. And other ones had told her about what I was doing, believing God for. Other ones had told her. They thought, man, this is a miracle for Randy. And some of those believe in the pre-trib, maybe did. I don't know what they believe in. I don't go around asking people whether they believe it or not. But this woman did, wholeheartedly. She was fixing to be caught up in heaven, and what good's her money going to do? I just give it to Randy. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in it. So I don't know what she was thinking or how she came up with that. I'm telling you. I don't know. I didn't ask her. I don't ask questions much. That's what people don't think. This is what my friends don't like about me. I can never ask any questions. I don't know. I just really don't most of the time. You didn't ask her anything. I said, no, I didn't ask her anything. God just wouldn't let me do it. And she ended up giving a few thousand to me. It's less than $6,000. I mean, she ended up doing that with me, you know. But after 1988 came about in September 11th through the 13th, and it didn't happen, let me tell you something, friend. I don't know if she was happy she didn't do it, that I didn't take it. I don't know if she was happy or not because I never talked to her. She never talked to me. A woman never talks to anybody, I don't guess. I don't know. I never, you know, she's a very private person. And when it didn't happen, I sure had to break her heart. She's probably, and all of her children were probably going, wow, man, I'm glad Mom didn't give our money away. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad Mom didn't give our money away. I don't even know who her children were or anything, but, you know, that goes. Giving our inheritance away to some guy who calls himself a pastor. At that time, I was a pastor evangelist. I wasn't really aiming a prophet. Didn't know what a prophet was. Friend, if I'd have taken that money from that woman, even though I didn't ask for it, I didn't wheel and deal, she was pushing it. She was pushing it on me. God would not let me take it. There's a lot more to the story, but I'm trying to give you the nutshell on that because it's already 10:02. I don't want anybody to say, God made Randy's vision come to pass by man. The vision God has given me is going to come to pass because God's going to do it, friend. God's going to do it. And I, like you, have been tested. I've been tested. I've talked about some of them before. I've never talked about this one. This is the first time I've ever talked about this in detail. Never been talked about. Because it's very sacred in many ways. And I don't want to shame, I can't give her this person's name because I don't want to shame her. She's dead now, but I don't want to shame her, her family, and those who are her friends. Some of them already don't despise me because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Well, you know, after the pre-tribulation rapture in 1988 didn't happen, it's like everybody was probably going, oh, wow, you know, oh, wow. I don't know what they thought because I never asked them. I didn't ask any of their opinions about anything, honestly. And I walked away, friend. Paid me for ministering that night. That was it. And it was a good amount. It was like $5,000. You normally get 100, 200, 300. Sometimes you get 1,000. And some people pay me $1,200, $1,300 for ministering for a couple hours. God wouldn't let me do it, friend. Sometimes God just says, don't take the money. I did nothing to try to get it from her. In fact, when I refused, when I didn't tell her, it ticked her off. She's very nice. She wasn't ugly at all. But it was extremely difficult for her. She's fixing to be raptured up. Yeah. But tell me, I never figured that one out. I never asked her what she was thinking. Like, why are you giving it to me? You know, because I don't believe in the pre-trib rapture. I didn't ask her anything because I didn't want to insult her. I didn't want to, you know, cause a rift and say, you know, why are you, because I don't believe in the pre-trib, so you're going to leave me here with the Antichrist or something. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking because we never talked about it. Yeah. So that's the story, a new one. Happened. I don't even know what day, week, or month it happened. It was before 1980. It was before September 1988 because that's when they were going to get all caught up. Read the story for yourself. You can Google it. It's all right there. This precious lady believed it hook, line, and sinker, as well as a whole lot of other people did. The man made a lot of money off of books, lots of money. Finally died, I think, in 2001 or 2007. I can't remember the date. You'll see it in the articles. All right. So y'all learning anything tonight, maybe? Getting anything out of this? It always helps to have a real story to go along with some of this stuff, right? A real experience. Yeah? And I just gave you one you've never heard before. And a lot more. I'm doing a lot of documenting right now. I'm documenting all kinds of things. All right, so let's get ready to take communion. Get your communion out, if you would, and let's do this together. If you weren't able to understand what I said, you can go back and listen to it again. Get exactly what we're teaching about, what we're talking about tonight. Hopefully it'll help you in your life with Jesus. I used to believe in merchandising. I didn't call it merchandising at the time, but I've never been a money getter. People try to give me money that's not God. I just say, hey, just keep it, man. I don't want it. And I've turned down some amazing amounts of money, more than it's ever been offered to me in the last 20 years. But even a billionaire didn't bless me as much as that woman was about to. Yeah. Sometimes you have to do what God says, friend. Crazy as it is and as whatever, if it makes no sense to anybody, you got to do what God says. Do what the Lord says. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or anybody says or how people despise you when you do things that don't make sense to them. Man, I can't believe you didn't do it. I can't believe you didn't mean to hump. People just like thought I was crazy. If they need to read about what I just read to you tonight about Abraham, that if I'd have taken that money, that would not have been, even though I didn't ask for it, and she would have not been raptured. Of course, she wasn't raptured up in 1988, you know, and the fact that I didn't take that money because I didn't, you know, that it just wasn't right because I knew there wasn't going to be no rapture or pre-tribulation. There's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, friend. Not going to be one. Sorry, I know some of you believe it, but it's not going to happen. I've staked my life on it before, if you will, and $200,000, too, that was sitting right in front of me, and the woman had the money and was going to write the check right then, without blinking an eye. Guess what? I believe God's getting ready to bless in a way that's going to be God, and not some man, not some people trying to tie strings to people. Well, if I don't give you, you know, you're not going to be blessed if I don't give you. I'm gonna, you know what? You can do that. You can take that. Go do something else with it. I don't want it. Ain't nobody going to say, no human being, I'll take the what things that God brings my way for PGN and for myself. But I don't want string tied to money from anybody. I don't want any money that's wrong, that's not right. Now, some heathen came up to me and he was a gambler and said, God told me to give you some money. I take that money. If God told me to do it, it's not about it's whether God's involved in it. And if people try to tie strings to a friend, I don't know. I don't care how much it is. Tell them to give it somewhere else. And God will bless you for it. And we're about to be blessed. Because you know what? What goes on at PGN is exactly that, what God is doing. And we're doing it God's way. All the way. All the way God's way. All right. Let's lift up the bread. And let's get ready to take communion tonight. Let's believe God for the provision that Jesus Christ has paid for, that it be Christ's provision for you and not some man's provision. Some man's way out, some man's way through, but God. All right, you guys got your cup and your bread. Let's take it together, please. All right, for I received from the Lord, Paul the Apostle said, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. My body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. This eat, friend. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift up the cup. We remember you, Jesus. We thank you for you being the one that's going to bless us, Lord. Not man. God, you may use people, but you're going to speak to them. You're going to give them dreams. You're going to give them visions. You're going to show them. You're going to give them a desire. It's going to come from you, not from some wheeling, dealing, manipulating people trying to bring God's will to pass without him, that love him and serve him. And in that light, in the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, friend, this drink. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for anybody who's ever taken money, even though it may belong to you some way or another, but somehow it wasn't right, it wasn't good, that you will forgive them of that, wash that from them, cleanse them, and make them whole, Jesus. Make your people whole, Lamb of God. Let us find that only through Christ and Christ alone do we get blessed. We only want that blessing. We don't want the blessing of man. God's going to use people, but it's going to come from the hand of God. That's the most precious gift God can do for you and I, is bring it through the hand of God, through his precious people. Abraham gave what was holy to God. And then he turned right around. The next scripture says, the very next one says, Abraham told the king, the other two kings, he took a lot of wealth because it was a God thing. This one, he says, the king of Sodom. Now, I worked for it. I deserve it. I helped win the battle. And he was a main instrument in it, Abraham was. He says, you know what? Nobody's going to say a man made me rich. What's the difference, friend? Think about it. Think about it. It's very important. Because Abraham just gave what was holy to God, the tithe. The tithe is holy, friend. You don't tie strings with your tithe. You don't tie strings with anything, ever. You're not going to do it with me. If I know it, I sense it, I see it, somehow it's not right, I don't want it. I'd rather just do something else with it. Give it to somebody else. I've been tested in it big time. And I love people. Sometimes people get in fear. Sometimes people get in bondage to things, and they respond out of that. I forgive and love and bless, and I'll minister to anybody. I don't care who they are. I'm free. But you're not going to tie strings to me with money. All right, thank you. Let's go here and get these offerings ready. I'm getting some of them just coming in. So I'm getting those ready. As I get those ready, you can pray for me. That's for sure. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your giving. Those who give you your tithe, you give your tithe to PGN. Thank you for that. It belongs to God, and I could take some of it if I wish, and I deserve it. I work hard. But you know what? Right now I'm not doing that. So giving that to God. Those of you who do that, thank you for giving to PGN. I really appreciate it. All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm getting the offerings together, so just we'll be there in just a second. I'm getting it together here. Thanks for your patience. Some people give right before the show, so we got to get all that added up here. Thank you. I think that's about it for now. Make sure and pray for Nikki and Charles. Don't forget them in your prayers. They have a lot going on. God is blessed to bless them and keep them and watch over them. Let's go here. All right. Okay. Okay. Hang on a second here. I just about got it. Okay. All right, do this. All right, Sally Watts has communicated with me. Sally from London. We're going to talk about that next week. She's got some really cool information. Well, thank you, Sally, for that. We're going to pray for offerings right now, so let's get ready to do that. All right. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up. We thank you, Lord, for blessing your people financially. Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do in the studio and what's going on with PGN and the upgrade you're about to bring to us. We thank you for that. We give you the glory and the credit for that and the honor. And if you give tonight and you have building fund on it, but I didn't see it, just let me know because some of them I get, some of them I miss it sometimes. So just let me know about it. But, all right. I think we've got everything together now. So, all right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea, God. Thank you, Lord, for her making a smooth transition into the new thing you're doing, God, and all the new transitions that she has going on. I thank you, Jesus, that that those transitions, Father, are holy transitions. That you're doing a holy thing in Andrea, God. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it when we have things going on. But when God's doing a holy thing, sometimes holy things are born out of pain. Holy things, that when God's doing a holy thing, a special thing, a separate, when he's separating you for himself, sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. And I thank you, God, for her life. I thank you, God, for making giving her the strength and the comfort to go through what she needs to go through. To come out on the other side of this, where she is blessed and recognizes that she is highly favored of you, God, in Jesus' name. Bless her household. She said, Andrea said she didn't get her job that she was applying for, so pray for her about that. We are praying for you, Andrea. Thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for your love and your compassion. And Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sally from London. $7. Thank you, Sally. Sally sent me a couple of messages. One of them I missed in March. I didn't know she emailed me in March, but she did. So I got both of those today. It's amazing. Somebody else is going to share that next week. So thank you guys for being in on some of that. We'll talk about that next week. She's been, been involved in the currencies thing. So we're going to talk about that a little bit from her side, from her perspective. And, very interesting what's going on around the world. She's in Europe. So she has a little bit different perspective, I think, sometimes on things, which is very interesting to see and hear. Well, we thank you for Sally, God. We thank you for her investment in the kingdom of God, not just money-wise, but her investment in believing and receiving, investment of her belief, her believing, her investing, her belief system, into you, God, and to what you bring her and what you want her to believe in, what you want her to receive, what you want her to have knowledge of. And I thank you, God, that she's in process of all that being developed, which is going to totally transform her into a whole different person in every area, yes, even financially. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, that the small things are going to become big, the small things that she's done. Sometimes we support something because it's big, thinking that it's going to be a big blessing, but sometimes God has us support and be a part of things that are, quote, small. It seems like insignificant, but those who catch the insignificance of a small thing that seem insignificant but seem important to them, God blesses those people in a very amazing way. So thank you, Lord, for blessing her for that in Jesus' name. And Sally, I'll be reading that next week. I hope you'll be able to be a part of that. Listen in on that, Sally's messages from last week. It's a really cool stuff, man. It made me happy to read her emails from the UK, from London. So, amen. All right, Anya, $7. Thank you, Anya, for that $7. We just bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your countenance to shine upon her, Jesus, that your countenance shine upon Anya. In Jesus' name, that you are her sufficiency, you are her courage, you are her strength. She does not get courage on her own. She gets courage in her own from fashion in her own way, but she gets her courage from you. Because, friend, if you get your courage just from yourself, Anya, you know, when you get courage from yourself, you can have a lot of courage. But when it comes to supernatural warfare, our courage melts, like, right away. Like Peter's melted, and he said, I don't know who Jesus is, blankety blank blank. Okay, that's what Peter did. Because his courage just melted right in the midst of the moment that Christ was being, the transition was happening into a whole new thing. And we're entering into a whole new thing, just like Jesus, when Jesus was being in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said yes to the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Then when they came to get him, that transition, the heaviness of that transition, the reason that was such a heavy moment, and the disciples even said the disciples slept. They kept falling asleep because the atmosphere was so heavy. Heavy with what? Because there was one of the major transition of the world, of the whole earth, from the time that Adam sinned to the promise of Christ was about to happen. That was a big transition. Therefore, it created an atmosphere of tremendous heaviness. Sometimes when you're in a heavy atmosphere and things are heavy, it's because there's a transition going on. And Peter, you know, his courage couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. Peter was very courageous in his own self. But his courage melted in the midst of that pressure of a transition of a new era, of a new time in the earth was about to break loose. And the pressure that was coming with that was unbelievable. And only with the courage of God on you can we yield to that. And boy, when it happened, when Christ said it is finished, that transition broke through. The veil was rent. The pressure that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the veil began to just pull. It was pulling. The veil was pulling strong. It was pulling. Oh, it was heavy. That veil was thick. It was very, I don't know how many inches thick, but it was many inches thick. And it was so thick that, you know, no man could tear that thing. And the pressure was beginning to rip that thing. And when Jesus finally said it is finished and the price was paid, the veil rent in the temple. And all that pressure to tear that veil, to rip that veil was on Peter. Peter couldn't handle it. Nobody could handle it. They all fell apart. They all ran. Now you can understand why. It wasn't just a new era happening, a new era. Something was breaking through in the spirit realm. Oh, it was the major transition that the whole Old Testament, most of the Old Testament was talking about. When this happens, this is going to be major. And it was major. And we are entering into a season like that. We've already entered into it, actually. And the people are going to deny the Lord. Jezebel is going to come out of the hiding. They're going to come out of hiding. They're going to start manifesting in places. People don't even know there's such a thing as a Jezebel. Or a devil. It's going to start happening. Why? Because the pressure is what causes it to happen, friend. Yeah. All right, Shalonda. $10. Thank you, Shalonda, for the $10. We just bless you. We speak God's creation in you, that God's creating in you, creating in you, creating in you, creating in you. With the word of God, girl, is creative power. People say, well, I'm not creative. I don't have any creative skills much, blah, blah, blah. Some people say that. But every human being who's created in God's image does some type of creative thing, even though they don't realize it. But when the word of God gets inside you, Shalonda, as it is and is, and not just the written word only, of course that. When that comes alive, it's amazing. But when the prophetic word, either a word from God or it ain't. It's either a God word or it ain't a God word, just like the Bible is the God word. The word that proceeded out of the mouth of God to his servants from God Almighty by the Holy Spirit speak volumes. And there's such creative power in that, that whatever creative power you need to draw on, or whatever it is you need to work your way through, Shalonda, God's going to give it to you. Draw it out of his word. Suck it out of the rock like honey out of the rock, Shalonda. Ha, kashara baroha. Come forth, honey out of the rock. Let her suck the honey out of the rock, Jesus. You are the rock. Get that creative sweetness from heaven for whatever situation you need to work your way through in Jesus' name and come out on the God side instead of just the, oh, I barely made it side, but come out on the God side. Amen and amen. Wow, Shalanda, awesome. Angela Joy, $10 building fund. Thank you for that building fund. That makes it $10, $20. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless you, Angela Joy. We thank you, Lord, for a hot time in the town tonight. A hot time in the town tonight, whatever that means. I don't know. Like God giving you a hot time in the town tonight. Is that even a saying? I don't even know what that is. A hot time in the old town tonight. Is there something like that? There's something like that. A good old time in the city tonight. Something. So in other words, you know, we know this is spiritual. We know it's God, right? We know it's not the flesh that we're talking about. We're not talking about the flesh. We're talking about the spirit. So I just see God giving you a good time, like having a night out on the town, like enjoying going to a good movie somewhere and seeing something really good and going to have dinner and just, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know what that's for, what that's about, but I just speak that into your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to enjoy, like, have people that we can love and enjoy and partake of and fellowship with Jesus in and go out and eat dinner with them and communicate and love and have friendship and go do things together. That's a hot time in the town tonight. I think that's what that means. So that was an unusual thing. I don't think I've ever said that to anybody before that I know of. But it's like God's wanting you to know. He wants you to enjoy. I tell you, Angel Joy, I had such fun today. Angel Joy, I had such fun today. I laughed for off and on for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, off and on, just laughing. You know why? Because God told me today when he spoke to me about the message tonight, he told me, he said, I just saw God saying to the angels, okay, we're going to go on a shopping spree. We're going to go shopping tonight. You know, like a hot time in the town tonight. And so he took Abraham to Egypt. Abraham, poor little Abraham, he didn't know he was going to a shopping spree with God. God was taking Abraham on a shopping spree. And when I saw that in the spirit, I laughed and giggled and laughed off and on for an hour, 2 hours. I don't know how long it was. I just kept laughing. And I'm still feeling that. It's like I had a hot time in a city tonight or something today. I don't, you know what I mean, with the Lord, the city of God. Yeah, and I just bless you with that in Jesus' name. May God satisfy you, satisfy your longings, and bless you and nurture you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mahogany, $10. Thank you, Mahogany from Texas. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Mahogany. We ask you to bless her, God. We ask you to bless those that bless her and to curse those that curse her. Because, you know, cursing us means, as I've talked with many times, doesn't mean somebody disagrees with you, doesn't like you, argues with you, fights with you, but it's somebody who tries to come after you. And that doesn't happen real often with us because you have to have, you know, something going on with God or something going on even in the world for people to want to curse you. So it has to be something big. People just don't want to curse you just to curse you because they're mad at you, but that can happen. It can happen for sure. People can get mad and jealous over, you know, all kinds of things. But you know what? I see God showing you that promise that he was going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So that's your protection plan from God, and that's your blessing plan from God. To walk in it, live in it, don't forget it, don't compromise it, and don't forget your covenant with God, because that's what you, all you have is your covenant with God in the earth. Because that's your ladder to heaven. That's your, where the angels come up and down on and bring blessings to you, is that covenant. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Maureen, $10. Thank you, Maureen. We just bless you, Maureen, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for teaching Maureen how to fish. It's like tonight we were talking about how that Abraham went shopping, didn't know it, but he was going shopping for wealth. God, I ask you to show Maureen how to shop for wealth, God. Just take on a shopping spree of wealth like you did Abraham. Shopping spree. Shopping, go shopping in Egypt. And may God open your eyes and enrich you and show you that there's more for you than there are against you. Hallelujah. May God show you. Elisha, the prophet, had to tell his servant who was freaking out and shaking and thinking, we're going to die, man. Don't you know that, Elisha, there's just two of us. I mean, there's thousands of those guys out there. We don't have a chance. He says, you don't understand. You don't understand, Mr. Servant, my friend. So I'm going to have to ask God to open up your eyes so you can see that there's more for us than there is against us, because Elisha could see him. He wasn't worried. He knew if they made one step toward him, didn't matter how just two against thousands and thousands, because they had hundreds of thousands of help. Even if you don't have only two angels, one angel can whip up on thousands and thousands, much less a whole bunch of them. Thank you, Lord, for opening her eyes in Jesus' name, showing her. Holy Spirit, quicken her in Jesus' name. Let her see like she's never seen before. Let her know like she's never known before. Let her be what she's never been before, God. Keep on creating in her. Keep on blessing her, God. Keep on opening her up. Keep on delivering her from one realm of glory to the next, from one place of your presence. As she seeks you, as she yields to you, God. Hallelujah. Bianca, $12. Thank you, Bianca, for that $12. We just bless you in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, God, I thank you, Father, for her communication with you, Father, that you begin to give her a balanced life, God, where it's not way up and then way down, and way up and way down again, way up, way down, but it's balanced. Let her mountains be filled. May her mountains fill her valleys, that she can walk on a plain, on a field that is not full of ups and downs and ups and downs. I thank you, Jesus, that you're training her. You're showing her how to do that, because it really is, Bianca, when we yield to the Lord, we learn how to yield to the Lord. And when we do, we let him fill our valleys with the mountaintop experiences. When we take the mountaintop experiences, well, we got it all. My God, it's awesome now. Yeah. And then, 2 weeks later, like, oh, God. Oh, what kind of valley is that? Oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Like I've done it many times. And so the Lord starts showing me, he starts showing you how to deal with your mountaintop experiences, where your mountaintop experiences start filling up your valley experiences, where it fills up your valley, where it's just always good, always blessed, always holy, always awesome. In Jesus' name, even when you're suffering, our sufferings become awesome. It doesn't mean it's like, oh, boy, I can't wait to suffer more. But even when you suffer, you don't go down into the valley, way down into the valley, because your suffering becomes on an even plane. You walk on level ground that is, I can't think of the word I want with that, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. So once we start making that transition from our valleys being so deep and our mountain thoughts being so high, we learn to have, that solid life with the Lord, and I still don't always have that, but I used to have it a lot less, a whole, whole lot less. And now I have it a whole, whole lot more because of the grace of God in learning how to take those mountaintop experiences and bring them into fill my valley. So in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Gary and Mary, $18, building fund. Thank you, Gary and Mary. Left me this awesome scripture. I think I talked about this a little bit last week, maybe. Exodus 12:13 says, when I see the blood, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction, plague will touch you. Exodus 14:13, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Amen. Gary and Mary. All right. Amen. Thank you for that. Lord, I just thank you that when they see the blood, he says, when I see the blood, what's the blood represent? The death of Christ? Yeah, in some ways, but it's more the covenant. It was the blood covenant. The blood covenant was cut with Christ and the Father, and we cut covenant with him. And when he sees that we have that covenant with him and that we're living in that covenant, dwelling in that covenant, then when he sees that, he passes right over. No destruction, no plague touches us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Gary, for that. That is awesome. And I tell you what, we're going to get a hold of this. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Gary. Lord, we just bless Gary tonight, God. We thank you, Father, for the power to subdue his enemies. Whatever those enemies are, whether those enemies are thoughts, whether those enemies can be, sometimes the enemy does use people. Even Peter was used of Satan. Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. Was using Peter to, discourage Jesus. Was using Peter to, without even realizing he was doing it, bringing him, temptation. Yeah, it was temptation. And so, All right. Okay, hang on a second. Thank you, Gary. And, you know, to subdue your enemies. You know, enemies can be come in many different forms. Sometimes people can be our enemy temporarily and not know it. Even our own wives and children can be our, you know, can the enemy can use them without them even knowing. Like, we can be going through a battle about a certain thing, and they'll come along, and they'll just start talking about that thing. Like, we're going, like, how do they know I'm thinking about that? And it not be always an encouraging thing, but a, like, wow, I mean, that's discouraging to hear, you know, what's going on here? You know, and this happens with all of us. I don't care who you are. I've done it with people. I'm sure the enemy's used me many times with people to bring up something that was, you know, just was the wrong thing at the wrong time. I've had people tell me that. How did you know that about that? But it was like, to them, it was like a negative thing. And it made them situation worse, it seemed like. And so the enemy can come in so many different ways. And God's going to show you all the different ways that the enemy comes to attack you, even through the most innocent, pure people. Like Peter was really a pure, innocent person in many ways. And the enemy was using him to tell Jesus. Remember when Jesus was being tempted, Gary, in the Garden of Gethsemane? What was his whole thing? Let this cup pass from me. Like Peter was saying, you're not going to take that cup, Jesus. You're not going to die. You're supposed to be alive. Don't you want to fulfill what the Jews think about you, what all the great teachers say, what we've believed for years, that you're going to rule and reign, but we're going to rule and reign with you. You're never going to die. And you say you're going to die? Yeah, and see, Jesus was tempted with that very thing at Gethsemane. And here Peter was being used of the devil to get him to think about even the very thing he was already struggling with, because the struggle was revealed at Gethsemane. Is there any other way for this thing to happen? You know, can this cup pass for me? You see what I'm saying? That was the enemy. Most people don't think about the connection between what Peter was saying and what Jesus was struggling with in himself as a human being, being tempted as a human being. He had to learn to take his thoughts captive, to subdue his thoughts. And he was doing that through Peter that day. Innocently, Peter didn't have a clue what he was saying. He was just quoting what the rabbis were saying, you know, teaching that most of them believed. I think they all maybe believed in it. See what I'm saying? So it's like, wow. So God's going to start showing you all the different ways the enemy tries to attack you so you can be on guard about it. You know, if God uses an innocent one, we always know that, you know, it's not really them. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. Right? So we understand that. So getting all that information from God, knowing that it's not the people that are coming against us or saying those things to hurt us, it's the enemy trying to get at us through the people closest to us. But what better person to use than the people close to us, our children, our friends, yeah, the people we work with every day, the people that he knows how to talk to the people that we work with every day or that we see every day. Those are the ones the enemy tries to use, and they don't even know 99% of the time, maybe all the time, that they're being used. They don't even have a clue. It's not because they're evil or bad. It has nothing to do with that. See what I'm saying? God's going to start showing you all the different ways to that, so you can teach it and share it with others. All right, Mary, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Mary. We thank you, Lord, for the same thing with her, all the ways the enemy tries to attack her, bring anxiety and stress and unjustified, you know, the lies and it's like it's always about the future. Most of the time it's about the future, about, oh, yeah, you know what, but when this happens, you know, because of what you did or didn't do, you know, you didn't agree enough, and you didn't pray enough, you didn't do enough. No, the devil is a liar. And he's always trying to get us, he knows our weaknesses. Because our thoughts are projected. Our fears are projected. And just like a dog, he can smell our deepest fear. Nobody else may not know a thing about how we fear. Yeah, maybe, am I praying enough for my husband? Am I praying enough for my future? Am I praying enough for my family? Am I praying enough for whatever? Am I doing enough? Am I giving enough? Am I being right enough? You know, nobody knows the fear. Job dealt with that. Job offered up offerings for his children all the time because he thought, you know, I don't want them, you know, to curse God and mess up. And, you know, so he dealt with that. That was a fear he had. That's not why his situation came upon him, because God was asking Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That's what happened to him. But he did have that fear over his children, over his family. He's a godly man. Yeah. So God's going to show you. You guys are going to have a dual learning thing on that. Awesome. That's pretty cool. Wow. Yeah, man, and bless your finances too in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Sandra, $20. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Gary Mary, thank you very much. Thank you. I like the thank you thing where it writes it out. You're writing on my phone, man. Stop it. How are you doing the writing on my phone like that? That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to send. It's like Gary's on my phone writing thank you, but it's not. It's one of those things you send out that writes thank you. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Amen. That is so cool. Thank you so much. Cool. Very, very cool. Thank you. What is that? Through the telephone? You're doing it through the telephone. Is that what that means? Send me a picture of an old black handled telephone. I think that's what he's saying. Text phone. Yeah, you're writing on my text phone. That's right, brother. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. A blessing. All right, Sandra, $20. Thank you, Sandra. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Sandra. I thank you for her leadership skills. God, I thank you for nurturing and watering her leadership skills, God. A leader is somebody who learns how to follow. And sometimes we go through things where we learn how to follow. Or am I ever going to lead anything? You know, people ask that all the time. What am I going to be leading, God? Am I a leader? Am I not a leader? So, you know, so Paul the Apostle says, follow me as I follow the Lord. So, you know, God's showing you more and more that being a leader is following after him. Right? And then people follow after us because they can see with our consistency, with our life, with the things we say, with the things we do, that we're following after the Lord. Amen. Sandra sent me something. I don't think what she sent me. Well, I told you guys what she said last week, right? Yeah. Yeah. I already shared that with you guys, what she was saying about, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I'd come to her like three times in the spirit or something. Awesome, 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 man. God said some awesome things. I got to share some things with you that the people at PGN have been getting from, you know, things about the market to interpreting dreams that I've had or helping interpret them or make them clear, all kinds of things. How God's putting together a team, man. It's exciting. It's actually exciting. So I thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God. I thank you, Lord, for blessing her, for making her whole, for making her, thank you for making her part of our team. And we thank you, Jesus, for raising her up, God, and teaching her how she, as she follows you. Because that's what happens with me. You know, when I come on the show and I'm giving words, the reason I'm giving words is not because I'm not trying to lead my way through it. I'm following the Lord. And as I'm following the Lord, I'm giving the information that I see as I follow him. I'm following him, and I give the information I see when I follow him, but he takes me somewhere, and I share it with people, and they follow it because I got it from the Lord, right? So we follow him, we serve him, and then wherever he goes, we go with him, and on the pathway, especially when we're praying for people, God loves to speak to people. That's one of his favorite things to do, speak to and touch his people. It's his favorite thing. So thank you, Jesus, for opening it up for her, showing her that new level, God, at a new level. Sure, he does it, but at a brand new level, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jeannie from Texas, my friend Jeannie from Texas. Thank you, Jeannie. We love you. Thank God that you're part of PGN. We've known Jeannie for many years, a precious servant of God. And we thank you, Lord, for her life. We thank you, Lord, for her dedication to you, Jesus. We thank you that her, you know, one of the things that I see God doing is the traditions, like my family traditions were Baptist, at Baptist traditions. Some people's traditions are, you know, can it even be Pentecostal or Spirit-filled or whatever. And so, you know, and now I have, you know, Spirit-filled things to pass down, you know, to my family. And, you know, so, but when God gets ready to bring the next generation to another level, they leave those traditions behind. They help them kind of get to that place. But then, so I see you, Jeannie, leaving the traditions of your father and mother as far as taking it to another level. I know your mama was a God-fearing woman and a spirit-filled woman and a godly woman. And so I see you, like, taking it to the next level. Like, your mama, in many ways, prepared the way for you. But you're going to take it not just – you're not going to be, quote, as good as her. God's going to make you better. You know, that's the dream of every parent, is that their children will do better than they did. And so her prayers for you to do better than she did in every area is going to come to pass. And so God's going to make sure that happens. But you're going to, you know, walk into a whole other level and leave a whole other tradition to the next generation of your family in Jesus' name. They're going to say, yeah, well, Aunt Jeannie and whatever they're going to call you, you know, my cousin Jeannie, my sister, sister Jeannie, my whatever Jeannie is, you know, she took it to a whole other level. There's other people in your family. Maybe I'm thinking of one particular girl. I think you said it was your brother's daughter. I'm not sure who this is, but I see them taking on with you and walking with the way you walk. I don't know if you'll ever see it with you personally, but in her own way, and you may see that, where she starts picking up the mantle and walking along with you in the spirit. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you for that in the name of the Lord. And it's kind of like what I'm seeing tonight is the family thing being coming down from generation to generation and increasing with each generation. And you have brought, God has used you to bring it to a whole other level, a whole other place. Yeah, I mean, a whole other place. And so you're stepping out, and, you know, I know you have a cousin, Mark, and all that, but because of what I talked about earlier with Anya or somebody, about the pressure that was – the reason the pressure was so strong in the Garden of Gethsemane, because they were literally at the threshing floor of a new moment. They were literally threshing through a whole new world, a global movement. God was coming back to take the earth, and it was happening, man, and you could feel the pressure. The pressure in the atmosphere was amazing because the veil was about to be ripped, and the pressure that tore that veil, ripped that veil, was like – like more than any earthquake ripping the earth open. It was more than that. It's amazing. And so we are entering into that. And because of that, they're going to do like Jesus said about John. You know, John was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, in a sense, you know, from the old generation. But there's a new generation coming in. So, yeah. All right. Sharonda, $25. Thank you, Sharonda. Thank you, Lord, for Sharonda's faithfulness to you, God, for her love for you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are opening up her life, God, to see that you want to bless her. You're giving her hope for blessing, hope for rising above the fray of just doing a little bit better than, you know, what her parents did or what people around her did, but doing exceeding abundantly above all she could ask or think or imagine. In Jesus' name. And God wants to use you, Sharonda, as an example of how if you trust and believe and be faithful to God, how God will, you know, bring you through things that you never dreamed you'd come through, walk through. Amen and amen. Okay, let me open up here. Okay, let me see that. Okay, that's what I thought. All right, cool. I'm hearing a song, Jeannie. It's maybe Sharonda. I don't know who this is for, but da 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 da. I'm in Jesus' cares. Yeah, I don't know if you know that song. I'm not even getting the words to it, but la da 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 da. He loves me, something like that. I can't get the words right now, but that's for somebody, either Jeannie or Sharonda or both of you. I know he cares. Da, da, da. I wish I could look at that song. I would give you the words to it, but right now I can't think of what it is. Jesus loves me. Jesus cares. Something like that. It's a song. And so when I get songs, I know they're speaking something, so God's going to give it to me a little bit. But Sharonda, get ready for that. God's going to give you hope of into a whole nother realm with your life, in Jesus' name, a whole nother realm with your life. All right, Paulette, $25. Thank you, Paulette, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Lord, we thank you for blessing her, for keeping her, for watching over her, Lord. We thank you, good luck, God, that you are. That there's a dawning of a new day for her, a dawning of a new day, and a dawning of a new provision, a dawning of a new provision. In Jesus' name, the dawning of a new provision in the name of Jesus. And God giving you, putting the pressure on the right people to do the things that they need to do, do the things that need to be done. Like sometimes pressure to, be a part of what we're doing. Pressure is being applied. The Lord starts applying pressure. When God applies pressure to things, people don't have to do it. But when he applies the pressure, they usually do it somehow or another. Even if it's unwillingly, they do it. But God's really applying pressure to things around you. And, I see some things going on because God is applying pressure for things to be finished up and to be sealed and to be, delivered into your hand. Amen. God always delivers the blessings into the hands of those who use their hands to give the holy things to God. When your hands are holy because you take the holy thing that belongs to God and give it to God, that makes your hands holy to receive holy things from God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Bless you with that. Amen. All right, Deborah and John. Deborah is one of our hosts. Thank you, Deborah and John, for that. It actually came in John's name, but I think it's for both of them, of course. Deborah does our shows on every Tuesday, so make sure and join her on Tuesdays. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah. We thank you, Lord, for that prophet in her, God, to rise up in Jesus' name and play the role of the person who sees and speaks in Jesus' name. Let that be open. I see God opening up your mind and your brain to be able to comprehend new things from God. Like every time God does something new with me, like every time I enter into a more powerful, specific, a specific information realm with God, it's because he did something in my mind. He did something to my mind. My mind became more yielded. Sometimes that's usually through struggles and battles that we go through with situations, and then it breaks. It's like breaking something gets broke open, like the veil gets rent, and we enter into a new place with God. And I see you entering into a new place with God where God's speaking to you in more precision, than he already is. So we go from level to level of precision. It happens to me, I wish it happened more often, but it happens to me. Off and on, God, it takes me from one level of precision to another. And it's really cool, and I see you doing that. God's doing that for you. All right, John, we just bless you, John. Thank you for the $33. We just bless you in Jesus' name. I think the hand of God be upon you, that you learn how to deal with the holy realms of God, the holy things of God, to give to God what belongs to God, and not just your money, your tithe, your offer, whatever, but your life and your prayer and your time. God uses everybody a little bit differently. Some people are more like I was more of a prayer warrior. Other people weren't prayer warriors. They were always digging around, learning, reading books. I was like, you should be praying, man. No, and they'd be reading books, man. They were obsessed with reading books and knowledge. Well, that was the calling God had for them. So everybody has a little bit different way of getting the holy thing of God going on. Like I have a friend whose father was like when they were kids, all they talked about was, I heard their father talk about was money, everything about money. And so they didn't really see that as being a blessing of God. They just thought it's like, all he talked about the money. Why didn't he talk about something else like God? Well, that's because his life, his holy life, that God had appointed him to, was about making money for the kingdom of God. So, and he made a lot of money. And so there was a time in the season where he saw that and he started giving into God's kingdom. But nobody ever said to him, you know, the reason you're obsessed with money and business and that kind of thing is because you have a calling in that area. So whatever area is holy, God, even though he had to be perfected in that, had to grow in that, had to learn in that, and learn how to give that to God, because there's a lot of temptation in that realm. There's a lot of temptation in that realm. And he had to learn how to fight. It was his calling. It was what was holy to him. Some people have a thing to pray. Some people have to learn. Some people have money. That's what they think about. But it doesn't mean that they're – it looks like they're just in the flesh, like, yeah, they're just, you know, money. But, you know, when God has a mantle on somebody, they become obsessive compulsive with the thing they're called to do. So then you learn how to give it to God and adjust it and still do it and do it a lot and think about it a lot. But you think about it a lot in God. And I see God showing you how to do that. All right. Nicole, $35. Thank you, Nicole. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We just bless you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the heart of a receiver. God showing you how to receive from him. It's one thing, you know, giving is, of course, the greatest thing, but when we give to God, then God has to give to us, right? So if we hinder the process at all, it keeps the cycle, because in order to give more, you have to receive more, right? Giving is the greatest, because when we give, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why is it more blessed to give? Because it's all nice and generous. No, it's because it's in giving that you plant the seed. It's in giving that you activate the receiving. Without the giving, there's no activation of receiving. So in giving, like a man plants a seed in a woman, and they become pregnant, you know. So the woman has to receive it, but the man is the giver of it. So you see what I'm saying? That's just the way life works in general. So if we hinder any of that process, if the woman says, I don't want your seed, well, she's never going to have a baby. You're never going to bear fruit. You're never going to receive, you know. So God's showing you how to receive from him so that the process can continue to accelerate and grow. You give, God gives back, multiplies. You learn how to receive the full measure. The full measure comes back to you so that you can give more. When you give more, it comes back to you more. But if that process of receiving more is hindered in any fashion or form, then it stops the cycle from progression, continual progression. So God's going to show you that, how to receive greater, better, and walk in it, you know, more powerfully in rhythm with God, the rhythm of God's seed time and harvest, the rhythm of seed time and harvest. Amen. All right, Angela from the Carolinas, my sister, Angela L. Lanham, $40.40. Thank you for that 40-40, girl. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you for bringing her through her into her promised land, God. You're bringing her out of the era of the wilderness. You know, like they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. There's 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. He went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And God's showing you that we must go through the wilderness. Jesus had to go into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan in order to enter into Jerusalem with the power of God. Without that, we don't. That's why our times of temptation and struggle and battle, we have to win that, because in winning it opens the door for us to go into our Jerusalem, our place of ministry, our place of power. It said when Christ left the wilderness, he went into Jerusalem in power, the power of the Holy Spirit. But God's showing you how that the wilderness time, the 40-year, the wilderness, that when you cross over, you enter into the realm where the power of God can flow through you and move through you and activate through you. Jesus saying, where it's real and alive. It's holy. It's activated in you, literally, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Karen, $45.10, your tithes. Thank you. She's blessed and highly favored. Great things are coming. Amen. So I just come in agreement with that, Karen. I thank you for that 4510. We just bless you in Jesus' name for a whole generation, that generational thing in you, for God. You know, generational thing is like our families. It's like the generations to come, the generations that are in us, the generations that are in the future, the generational thing that God given you an anointing to pray and believe and keep and watch over and deliver and set free, the generational thing, because our seed, our life, our family, our future families, when God will choose someone in the family to separate them out, to use them to sanctify themselves, set themselves apart for the seed, for the DNA, for their family inheritance from God in all areas, spirit, soul, body, finances, everything. So where because God is interested in, he wants to bless families, and he always chooses one person to bless the whole family, get the whole family in the realm of blessing, right? He picks one. And so God has chosen you for that and given you a love for that and an anointing for that. And how you obey God with your, like with your tithes and with your whatever thing you do for God, that's what opens up the door through your DNA, because when you do things, the anointing gets in your DNA. Your DNA affects your family, even though they have to accept Jesus as their Savior themselves, but your work, the work God's doing in you, affects your family, all of your family. In every area, grandma, grandpa, I mean, you know, future family, all the whole thing, your seed, cousins, aunts and uncles, you know, God is interested in, he wants to save the whole family. He wants to get the whole family out from underneath the curse and into the blessing. And God will choose one person many times to just obey God and watch that break off and bring the blessing on the family. And then you get the benefits of that from God. Yeah, you get the reward that from God. Isn't that cool? That's what's so beautiful about that. It's amazing. All right, Andrika, $30 for you actually said, I think you said 30 in both of them, but actually it's 20 and 30. I think you, I might have read that wrong because I didn't have my glasses on. That 20 looks like 30. But anyway, it's 30 and 20. And so we thank you, Lord, for that $5 for Tyreek. We just bless Tyreek tonight, God. We thank you, God, for that generational blessing on him. In Jesus' name, we speak the generational blessing on Tyreek and Torrey, God, that their seed and their future families, that Andrika's grandchildren, in Jesus' name, that the seed of God, that you're purifying, cleansing, washing, making their seed holy seed, that she's going to have holy grandchildren, holy kids, holy wives, holy families, God, because you're into the family thing. We just bless them and their future families and future wives in the name of Jesus, their future money. We just bless it now. We thank you, Lord, that you're using Andrika to prepare the way for those blessings, to build the highway for them to walk on, God, that they can build the highways for their children and for their grandchildren in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless that, God, and move into that. We bless Chris, and I thank you for that $10, Chris. In Jesus' name, we just bless you, Chris. God, in Jesus' name, I thank God for putting a fire under your feet, where you're moving you to where God wants you, because the fire always moves you where God wants you. The fire always moves you to walk where God wants you to walk. Sometimes we don't want to walk a certain way because it just looks too good for us, looks too big for us, and I want that, but I don't really know. How do I get there? I don't know how to get there. I'm not sure I'm really made for that. And so we sometimes don't see how high God wants to take us. So God puts fire under your feet to get you to step up, to step in. And the fire is kind of, you know, in a sense, has guidance in it. And God's going to guide you and lead you by your feet and where your feet go, where your feet tread. Amen. Where the old nostrils at. Oh, I forgot to pray. Yes, thank you for that. Thank you, Angela. I forgot to pray for Darrell. All right, let me pray. Finish praying for. Thank you for reminding me of that. You sent that to me earlier, and I told you okay, and then I forgot. Thank you. You're welcome. I'm going to finish praying here for Andrika before I get out of the flow of this. And we thank you, Lord, for that, for Chris. God, we thank you, Father, for Andrika, God, that God always uses a John the Baptist in every family to prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. That you are a preparer, Andrika. You are preparing the way. for the blessing. You are preparing the way. They're going to call you Jandrika Johnny. John, Jandrika. Jandrika. Yeah, to prepare the way in Jesus' name. God used you to prepare, to get ready. We can't make people do things, but if we don't prepare the way, like John the Baptist was used to prepare the way for the Messiah. So God uses us in every development in our lives, in our family lives, and our children too, to prepare the way for it. They're going to have to get up and walk in it, but preparing the way makes it easier for them. Okay, what are we doing here? All right, clear my throat a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Jandrika, the preparation, the preparatory thing, the preparation. So, and prepare them for wealth, the wealth of God. Put it in their minds. I'm sure you're putting in their minds that God wants to bless them. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to be millionaires, but it means that we're going to have wealth, meaning that we're going to have, you know, all of our bills paid, everything taken care of, and plenty extra to do whatever we need to do. I'm talking about way beyond vacations and the material things that God wants us to be blessed with through the covenant, but to be able to have abundantly above that. Some people's abundance is going to be $1,000 a week extra. Some people's abundance is going to be, you know, $10,000 a week extra. So that kind of everybody's wealth realm will be according to, you know, the faith and how they walk with God. But so we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. For ESW Auto Sales, God, we thank you for that 20 for ESW Auto Sales, ESW Auto Sales. Thank you, Jesus, for to bless that, increase that, multiply that, God. Let them be like Isaac in the wilderness in the famine, during the famine, that produce 100-fold. I declare and decree 100-fold blessing over them, over ESW Auto Sales, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring it forth. Bring it forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jandrika, I'm just declaring, as you're declaring that you're preparing, and you've already prepared for this. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I see something. God's connecting me something here with the three wise men who came, who heard the angels came and said the Messiah was being born, had been born, and that they brought gold and silver and they brought provision for the Messiah. And I see the same thing with you with ESW Auto Sales, that God using you to bring gold. Gold, silver, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh, and all that, and aloe. That's what they when they went to Egypt. That was what the provision was for when they went to Egypt. Something about God in Egypt and shopping in Egypt. I don't know what it is. Interesting, but there you go. All right, Noel, $50 building fund. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the building fund. And we thank you, Lord, for Noelle. Thank you for speaking to her the other night. What an awesome time Noelle and I had on the show where God spoke. It was really just so cool. Yeah. And I thank you just for increasing her and multiplying her, God. Increase her knowledge and increase her wisdom and increase her ability to learn from God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me in that area that you called her to learn from, God, that she will learn it of you and be blessed of you in that, in Jesus' name, that you expand her ability to learn and grow in those areas, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, LaShun, $50. LaShun, $60, building fund. Thank you, LaShun, for that. We just bless you. LaShun does shows on every Friday. She's really faithful servant of God. And just serves the Lord and loves God and is a real blessing. We thank you, Lord, for LaShun. God, we just bless her in Jesus' name and cause you to increase her and multiply her, God. Calls her like the Deuteronomy 28 blessing. I'm going to speak that over you. I'm going to decree that over you right now. Hang on a second here. Okay. Deuteronomy 28. Hang on a second here. Deuteronomy 28. I'm trying to go there. Hang on a second. Deuteronomy 28. Fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, Lashon. I will give you today that he gives you. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. He's talking about Israel here, but this, I'm blessing you with this. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up for her, God, right now. And it's about full obedience. God teaching you how to do full obedience. I know you already do that already to a certain degree, but God's going to open up. He said, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you above the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. In Jesus' name, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant you that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send his blessings on you, and your barns will be full. Everything you put your hand to will prosper in Jesus' name. The Lord will bless you in the land that he has given you. So I thank you, Lord. I bless Lashon with that tonight, God. We thank you for that. Amen and amen and amen. All right, Lashon, God bless you. Wow, that was pretty cool. I will take some of that for sure. Okay. Donald and Tanya. Donald and Tanya, $280 building fund. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Wow. Really cool. That's what I hear you saying. I hear you saying, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. Hey, Tanya. Wow. Yeah. Hey, Donald. Wow, wow. Hey, Tanya, wow, wow, wow. Y'all sound like a couple of dogs wow, wowing at each other. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. The wow zone. The wow zone. The W-O-W zone. Yeah. The wow zone. I just want to laugh about that for some reason. It's like laughing about that. Like, hey, honey, you know, guess what happened today? This and that and the other. Oh, she goes, wow. And she tells you what's happening. Guess what, hey? This happened today. Oh, really? Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. In Jesus' name. Wow, wow. I had to say, wow. Here I'm saying wow. Yeah, I just see you guys going, wow, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, no, 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 no. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, that is so cool, man. Entering to the wow zone. And just laughing like a couple of little kids, you know, like at the candy store. Wow, man, you see that? You see that? Oh, my gosh. Wow, wow, we're gonna have a blast now. We're definitely into the candy zone, you know, like, of course, Holy Ghost candy we're talking, right? Yeah. But in the candy, like a little kid in the candy store, like, wow, oh, wow, 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 that's mine. You walk down the store with it, wow, wow, wow. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's it, man. I mean, as soon as I saw your name and your offering there, I just went you know, when I read your offering, you know, you guys have given, you know, many times before, you know, and it's like, you know, but tonight when I read it, you know, and for some reason I went, wow, like the Lord says, yeah, that's exactly what I want him to know. They bring him into the wow zone. Yeah. So God, we thank you for opening that up. The wow them, God. Just like in that awe, the awe. You know, we've heard from, you know, some people have taught us, you know, about the fear zone of God. Like, you better fear God. You better fear God. But it's like a, like now it's like, you know, oh yeah, we fear God. Wow, what an awesome God we serve. Yeah. Oh, we definitely fear him and respect him and honor him. And wow, is he awesome. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yes. Wealth on wealth. Wealth on wealth. There you go. Wealth on wealth. Look at that. Wow. Dude, that's a blessing. Wealth on wealth. Literally, that just came out of me. I knew it meant something, but I'm thinking, what would wow be? Wealth on wealth. Wealth for Donald and wealth for Tanya. Wealth on wealth. Wow, the wow zone. Golly, that's amazing. That's just golly amazing. Gomer Pyle. Golly. 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 That's a wow. Wealth on wealth. I get all kinds of things go through my spirit. Like, now I want to sing a stupid little song about wealth on wealth. Wealth on wealth. Wealth, 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 wealth on wealth, wealth. You know, something like that. I don't know what it is. It's just like something. When something goes on inside me, y'all, my spirit, the songs come, just all kinds of stuff. I'm like going, wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm always amazed at God. I mean, I want to be more wowed. You know, we all want to be more wowed. Not oh no, you know, not that. Oh no, not that. No. Oh wow. Yeah. There you go, brother. That's amazing. That is amazing. Amazing. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. Terrence and Tanisha have shows. They minister twice a week, most of the time, on Wednesdays and on Sundays, just, you know, burning it up, man. 165, and then 229, and then 26. Thank you for the guys for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name for your faithfulness to Jesus. And, hallelujah. All right. Okay. Let's go here. Wow. All right. Let's go here. And Shannon, $10. Oh, hang on a second. We're getting Terrence and Tanisha here. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, that's Regina. I didn't see Regina. I'm sorry. Hang on a second here. Okay. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. I'm going here. Give me a minute. Okay. Okay. Terrence and Tanisha, thank you, Jesus, 165, 229, and $26. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the setting up a wealth program. And one of the things I realized, you know, people were sharing with me last week. Was it last night? It was last night. Lisa from Pennsylvania came on and said, Nisha and Terrence been talking about this. She said she was teaching on understanding or something. I went, that's what you taught them. And I went, y'all didn't talk about that? I said, no, I didn't talk about that. You know, I just preach whatever, you know, I mean, we're not discussing anything. We don't discuss that stuff. And it's like all of a sudden out of the blue, man, it's like, you know, she starts teaching on stuff, or they're teaching. I didn't listen to it, so I don't know who taught what, but she was saying Tanisha was teaching. I'm going, man, that's really cool, because that's what God's saying right now. It's just really amazing. And so I'm going like, wow, that's really cool. It's, you can see a flow going on here. You can see a flow. And God's starting to, you know, we're Psalms 133, where behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It doesn't mean we always have to have the same messages all the time. But but what God does is when he starts bringing that unity, it's a sign that the wealth of the Holy Spirit is on its way. You see what I'm saying? In other words, that's a sign of wealth. When people come in unity by the Holy Spirit, and not just man doing it, but by the Holy Spirit, then that's a whole different thing, because God is doing it. It's not people getting together, oh, okay, let's preach on this, let's teach on this. And not that she was saying that. Lisa wasn't saying that. But the Lord was saying that, you know, when I heard her say that, I thought, yeah, you know, that just shows you that God is putting together unity. When that unity comes, that special oil comes. And so it comes on the body. And so what I was wanting to tell Tanisha and Terrence tonight is that blessing, that special oil is starting to be poured out. That special oil. Psalms 103 says there's a special oil, a special anointing being poured out down the beard, down the head, the beard, and the robe, and the collar, and the whole thing, all the way down for the body of Christ. And God is going to just, you know, really ignite that thing of unity, where that special oil, because it's about the special oil. The special oil can come just for, you know, it's behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren, in other words, for bodies, for ministry bodies, for churches, for groups that are called to minister together, they dwell together in unity. It's like this precious oil, the precious oil. And so Tanisha and Terrence, I see that precious oil just being poured on you guys for wealth and managing wealth and dealing with wealth of all kinds, the wealth of the gifts, the wealth of God's anointing, just the wealth of God's anointing. And the anointing brings everything. It brings everything. And so God's showing you that, you know, all things are possible. Moving you into that realm for all things are possible. You know, because you've been crushed. You've been crushed. You've been torn down. You've been, you've been rebuked. You've been, you know, all kinds of things. And just like Joseph and his brothers, just like Jesus, just like, you know, a lot of them, you know, they went through that. And then there came a time where, their unity manifested with the timing that God gave them, it all started, was promotion. In other words, this is all about promotion. Wealth is about promotion. When God promotes you, it comes with wealth. Wealth may be, like I said, $1,000 extra every week, or it could be for some people, you know, $10,000 extra a week, every week. So wealth depends on what's going on and where you're at with God, and whether you're giving the holy thing to God or not. And when you're doing that, so it's about the wealth realm and God teaching us all the different things about real wealth, how real wealth comes. The real wealth comes, like it says in 1 John, where it says, behold how, I mean, when it says, you know, you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that prosperity cannot take us down and get us into the temptation realm where we can't yield, where we can't overcome, but it gets us in that place to where, you know, we overcome and we conquer, because we're getting wealth and growing even in the power of the gifts of the Spirit, where we don't fail and become big-headed and, you know, stay big-headed and stay arrogant and stay whatever, because sometimes we do go through times we get tempted and, you know, let those things do happen to us temporarily. But to stay there, that's the problem. The problem with not being brought into wealth of the Spirit God's way is that it ends up being taken away from you because you lose it because you didn't get it as you prospered and your soul prospered. But we just got it because whatever. Right? So I'm not going to believe whatever you get. Bring body Christ into producing wealth God's way, where it can't be lost and we won't be tempted to, you know, give ourselves the glory and the credit for what great things we did. Instead, we give all the glory to God like Abraham did. All right, cool. All right, Chris from Texas, $500. Thank you, Chris, for that $500. We just bless you in Jesus' name. God is the same thing I'm talking about with Terrence and Tanisha, that oil of anointing. When God starts pouring it down, it brings blessings on those who hang around, just like with Jacob. Jacob was so blessed. Once he got the blessing, it didn't matter what Jacob did, Chris. When this crooked father-in-law tried to be crooked with him, it didn't make any difference. So when you got the blessing on you, dude, and God's really going to pump this into you, when you have a blessing on you, you know it, you're walking in it, guess what? It doesn't matter who tries to screw you around, mess you around, be crooked with you. It doesn't matter what they try to do. God will eventually, like with Jacob, when his father-in-law, crooked father-in-law said, okay, your reward's going to be all the speckled sheep. Well, there wasn't hardly any speckled sheep. But God gave him a strategy to make all the sheep speckled. So you see what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter when we start realizing we're blessed. Oh, it hurts to get wounded by our crooked, you know, crooked people. But at the same time, that wound causes us to go to God, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a dream. I'm going to show you how to get all the sheep to be spotted, or whatever, speckled. I'm going to show you how to do that." And he did it, and because he did it, he got blessed. So it just didn't matter. It just did not matter. So God's really going to opening you up to that and showing you that and feeding you and watering you that you're blessed, that you're favored. That when I bless you, you're blessed. The Lord says. And so, jumping into that with all your heart and your soul in Jesus' name and being blessed by that. All right. So we've got Regina, $50. Amen. Thank you, Regina, for that. Pray for the AAAs. Her daughters all have A. The names start with an A. We just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for covering them, for protecting them. Jesus, for blessing them and bringing them into this covenant of blessing, Father, where the whole family can be wealthy because blessed, you know, and have plenty of excess because of mom. And God's gonna take and restore you in the image of the eyes of your children as the reason that they're blessed is because mama gave her life to Jesus and mama did what God said. And God's gonna show them that. And so we also pray for your parents. And your brother, we thank you, Lord, for her parents, her mom and dad. God, it's just a blessing to have her parents both alive. We just bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that our family is, we love our family. Our family's, our family, we've been with them all of our life. We're kind of there, yet we love them and they're gone. We miss them, but they just become their everyday, part of everyday life. So I thank you for the everyday life of her parents, God, that they be a blessing, that she be blessed, that they be blessed with her and realize that, that they're blessed of the Father in Jesus' name. And break every kind of thing that would cause them to struggle with, are we blessed or not? Are we blessed or are we cursed? Are we just kind of like lingering out there? We ain't got much going on. Or are we blessed? And I thank you, Lord, to establish that blessing for her whole family. That's what God did with Abraham. It all came down on, even though some of the brothers, Joseph's brothers, Jacob's children, the 12 tribes, you know, which became the 12 tribes, some of those guys were like just donkeys, man. They were like they had issues. It's like our children have issues. Not all of them were perfect, but they were still the family of God. They were still the 12 tribes, which came the Messiah. And so So you see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how perfect our children are, as long as we're in that, you know, quote, blessing of the family from the Father, it doesn't matter what issues they have, what's going on. You know, that blessing is on the 12 tribes, even though some of those 12 tribes, even Jacob, when he prophesied over some of his sons, he said, man, you guys are nothing but a pain in the neck. That's what he, read it. Read the promises when he prophesied over them, when he was with Joseph in Egypt, when he prophesied over his sons. Oh, some of it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that about that one. You know, he said, one of you slept with one of my concubines or something, I don't know what it was. You know, and God's not going to bless you because you got in your father's bed. I mean, you know, wow, it was like, that was hair-raising when you think about it. And that's the prophecy for us. It's crazy. But he was still part of the 12 tribes. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we get them in the tribe, get them in the family blessing realm. And even though they messed up, they're still part of the family of God. Yeah, and healing for my brother's healing in Jesus' name. God, be merciful to her brother, God. Be merciful, Jesus. Let the doctor come up with answers and ways and things to find ways to, you know, secure his healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the... yeah, and securing that, God, in Jesus' name, opening that up where they can live and not die and declare the glory of God. We just declare it, God. We decree it. We speak it forth. We believe you, God. You're going to do that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Protect and keep and watch over in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Greg, $40. Thank you, Greg, for that $40. So did you send something with that? I didn't look and see. Let's see. It is perfect. All right. Okay, what is it? All right, Greg. Okay, Greg. Thank you for that, Greg. In Jesus' name. I don't see any special directions from that. All right, thank you, my brother. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing my brother financially.
God, I just declare and decree over his finances. And I bless him. I decree and declare over his finances. And over his, I declare and decree over his financial realm. God, I speak blessing over him in the name of Jesus. I speak security for him. A security that he has something to pass, that you're going to bless him, God, so he can have something to pass down to his family, to his children. In Jesus' name, he has something of an inheritance to pass down to them. In the name of Jesus, bless him, God. Increase him, multiply him. Give him creative ideas, God, on how to multiply the level of wealth you want him to have. And then whether you want to have $1,000 extra a week or $10,000 extra a week. We thank you, God, for that in Jesus' name. And the level of wealth that you want my brother to walk in, that he will walk in that in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. Amen and amen. Let it be done. Let him set the measure. Let him set the measure, God. Hallelujah. The Bible even does say that. We talked about the other night that the measure is set by you. Amen. In Jesus' name, the measure is set by you, by the measure that you give, by the measure that you do. So God, show them how to increase and multiply himself in Jesus' name. In every way, with having a wife, to have family, to increase and multiply himself in that fashion, but also to increase and multiply himself in the financial realm. Because, man, I tell you what, you got money. I mean, it sounds really weird, but, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, oh, I think I really like you now. It's like, you know, it's like with Abraham. I mean, you know, just like a lot of people, you know, that were wealthy, it draws people. Of course, you have to pick and choose the ones that God uses all that stuff. Honey draws the flies, man, I guarantee you. and it draws all kinds of things. So it's just part of life, baby. Bubba. Yeah, amen in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Shannon, $10. I protection over my future, and that God takes away my fear of bad things happening. Things have improved and hope for better, but still worry about getting hit by something. Maybe why it's hard to ask a woman out because I'm not naturally shy. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't either. But thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for blessing him with that, God. Protection from fear of the future. The thing that a lot of people deal with that, fear of the future. Some people just deal with it a little bit more than others, but some people deal with it a lot more than others. But I thank you, Lord, for teaching him how to take those thoughts captive in Jesus' name, and not just take them captive, but put new thoughts in, how to put new thoughts in, how to put new thoughts in to replace the thoughts that are there, God. For in order to have a new thought process, we have to have a new word. Meditate on the words God's given you, even the prophetic words, like he told Timothy. He told Timothy, was it Timothy? Yeah, he told Timothy to get out the words, the prophecy he's got, and meditate on it. Because that's what helps him fight a good warfare, a good fight, a good battle, was knowing not just the Bible. That's of course, that's the main thing. But also, he said, the prophecies that you receive, to meditate on them, to look at them, to fight the good fight with the word of the Lord that he's given you. Amen. Through me and through others, whoever they are. Amen. All right. In Jesus' name, bless him, God. Bless his money. In Jesus' name. All right. Nicole, I think Nicole just gave 2020, if I saw that correctly. Oh, that was Lisa. Nicole also gave too. But Lisa, $17. Okay, let's go here. Get all this. Thank you for that. All right. Lisa, 17 something. Yes, 1712 for the building fund. Shalom, Parfrenny. This is for the building fund. On behalf of Andre, thank you for blessing Lisa. You're welcome. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for Andre. Lord, bless him, God. We speak. We intercede in his behalf, God, that you will begin to increase the wealth of Andre's heart, God, and his heart will begin to rise up and resist that hopelessness that tries to come upon him. In Jesus' name, God, you teach him how to do warfare. When he comes out of that wilderness of prison, he's going to be a mighty warrior for sure. He's going to know how to fight. He's going to know how to fight things. He's going to know how to fight things, and that's what's going to make him so powerful. Is that God's going to teach him how to fight things, Lisa? And so, yeah, that's really, 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 really cool. Yeah, to make him a mighty warrior, learning how to battle and fight things in prison and the whole prison thing, you know, setting the captives free and the whole thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus' name, just bless her, God. Show her how to prosper. Father, show her how to prosper the way you want her to. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on a second. All right. Yeah. So give Lisa the wisdom, God, how to continue to increase and multiply. Amen. And the things you're doing in the earth today, God, that we, when we are a part of that, our priesthood kicks in, because our priesthood is part of, our priesthood is given to us for a certain purpose, for a certain time, for a certain season. And when your priesthood kicks in, it's because at that level that God, that new level God wants it, where it's like when Isaiah got, you know, had that visitation with the Lord, he saw the temple. I mean, he saw the train. He saw the train. The train filled the temple. I'm going to get it in a second here. When the train filled the temple, that was God bringing him to a whole other level of his priesthood. So I thank you, Lord, for doing that with Lisa, God, in Jesus' name, like what happened with Isaiah, when the train filled the temple and you brought him to that place, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Nicole, $20.20, thank you, Nicole, for that building fund and offering, I think she said. We just bless you, Nicole, in Jesus' name, for that, and for blessing her womb, God, blessing her womb in every area, in the name of Jesus, where she can bring forth the children of God, the seed of God, just like you used Abraham and Sarah, God, to bring forth a whole generation. We thank you, Lord, that there's a Abraham generation where you're going to use strategies. Like you used Sarah for bait, in a sense, to get her to, for the Pharaoh to want her, just like, you know, Abraham feared. Sure enough, he gets in town, Egypt, and God was shopping for wealth. She became bait, and the curse came on. Then Pharaoh turned around and said, "Man, we got to bless this guy." So that's how he got wealth. And so he did that again in Gerar, Jeremy talked about earlier. So there's something about that. And about that Abraham's womb, so to speak, womb of faith, to be able to receive the promises, and Sarah together, they were able to bear forth a whole other generation that was going to be called Israel through Jacob, through the third child, through the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the third, through his grandson, Jacob, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the blessing and of the name change. Israel, and then Israel, of course, gave birth to 12 sons that became Israel, the 12 tribes. So that whole thing was produced through, the blessing of God in Jesus' name, in the womb of their faith, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Kim, $25. Thank you, Kim, for that. We just bless you, Kim, and thank you, Father, for your work that you're doing with Kim, God, that you're working with her, working on her behalf, God, God's showing you how to enter into his works, how to enter into his labors, how to enter into the blessing of the Lord, to where you find yourself, you know, knowing that you're blessed because he's blessed you, and that you're already blessed, and you're just learning how to get the blessings out of you. God's going to show you, Kim, how to get the blessings out of you, the blessings of, you know, a husband, a family, you know, the money, the ministry, the friends, the companions, all the things in Jesus' name, how to get that out of you. Because when favor that is already put in you, when you learn how to exercise that favor, like you exercise your faith, exercise that favor, when you exercise favor, favor draws people in, even people that we don't deserve, so to speak, better than what we, quote, deserve, better than what we, you know, because that's what grace is. With favor and grace is unmerited favor. So as you learn how to become a good steward of the grace of God, of the favor of God, and like you exercise faith, and it draws things to you from God. You exercise grace and unmerited favor, and it brings unmerited favor in situations and, you know, with people, with money, with situations. Open that up for her, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Where she can have everything that she needs and more in Christ Jesus. Amen. God, that the blessing of God comes upon her. You prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So as her soul prospers, God, and she learns how to activate not only her faith, but activate the grace of God, to be a good steward, the Bible says, of the grace of Almighty God. And that favor, that unmerited favor for you. And see, we think we got to be good enough, we got to be blessed enough, we got to be smart enough, we got to be, you know, the best looking kid on the block or whatever to have all this stuff, you know, but when you get unmerited favor, man, God can bring you people and things that you don't even, quote, deserve. Like, how did I get this? I don't know, but it just happened. The grace of God, the favor of God. So let it be done, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right, everybody. It's been awesome. Pray for us as we're getting together the account. Pray for us as we're getting together to get the account going on, and then we're going through our financials, and we're gonna try to get everybody who's ever given in, who's ever given but is still giving to PGN to be somehow in the mix. Even if you've come and gone, but if you started giving and then maybe you wait for a while and you come back and start giving again and you're giving now and you're in that place of PGN, being called a PGN, we're finding ways to bless everybody that we can. But to those that have been with us and been, you know, stayed with us and been with us, those people are going to get the highest level of the fruit because of their faithfulness to God. And it's kind of like a reward system of the Lord. And so we're working on all that and believing God to give us so everybody can be blessed to one degree or the other. Some will be blessed a whole lot more of a measure than others. But, I mean, you know, hey, so when God blesses a little bit is a lot. So it may not seem like much, but believe me, God's going to bless. It's going to be awesome. So be encouraged by that and know that we want to see everybody get blessed who's ever been called to PGN at one time in their life or the other, and then now are still involved. You know, maybe they come back, mae they're we have a lot of people just, you know, sometimes they come and go, and that's just the way life is. But we, because they've been feel called to PGN, we're going to make sure somehow to some degree that they all get blessed. So pray as we do that, and that God guides us. We're still putting that together. It's going to take a little bit of time. We're going to make a solid company for that, an account for that, and people are going to be blessed. Amen. It's going to be awesome. All right. I think that's it for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for being with us, and thanks for being a blessing. May God richly bless you and increase you and multiply you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. Angela, what is wrong with me tonight? Thank you for being persistent. Look at this girl. She's like, she's so kind, and she's kind of like, Randy, you forgot Darrell. Thank you. You know, usually the last is the best, right? He saves the last the best. I don't know. But I thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, I thank you a lot. It's okay. I know. I appreciate your kindness and your understanding. Darrell, Lord, pray for Darrell tonight. And for her friend Darrell, God, I thank you for blessing Darrell, God, showing Darrell that when you're truly walking with God, the blessings of God will come after you. They will come and chase you down. They will come and bless you. And show Darrell that the confidence that he can have in God is not just some religious thing, going to church, but it is that, like, one of these days, the whole world is going to be governed by the church, by the Lord Jesus Christ and the church that he and the people. The whole world is going to be governed by that. He's going to appoint, you know, us. He's going to appoint Angela to rule over certain cities and think, you know, if we're faithful to God, we do what God says. The Bible's full of that, where when he comes in the millennium, we're going to be chosen to rule over cities. So we thank you, Lord, that Darrell, God, will recognize and realize that the Church of Jesus Christ isn't just somewhere we go and sing songs. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to rule the world someday with Christ as our head and as our Savior and our Lord and our living, breathing, physical Messiah is going to come and rule from Jerusalem. He's going to rule the earth, and it's going to be amazing. And so teach Darrell, God, that the church, what the church really is, what the things of God really are, what they're really for, and that Jesus Christ came to pay the price because he's coming back to take the earth. He's going to rule it. He's going to reign in it. And the devil may have a season where he may win at certain things, but God is in the process now of picking that up and speeding it up and getting him ready, God. Wake Darrell up. In a way that Darrell will see that there's something new going on. Shake Darrell with the reverential fear and awe of God that will wake him up to God, having someone he can agree with and be friends with that can walk together and in the things of God. be partners in the things of God, someone to agree with, and someone to, you know, just talk to, and once in a while just say, hey, man, what's up, and get the things of God going. Think about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is going to rule this world, and it's in the process of doing it right now, and Christ began it. The church is going to prepare the way for Jesus, and he's going to come back, and the things that we have prepared before the war comes, he's going to come back and finish it up and take care of business. And and it's not just going to be the church only, like some little weak, measly little thing that, oh, yeah, go to church. Yeah, I respect. Everybody's ashamed of the church. The church is like, you know, he wants to go to church. A bunch of preachers preaching, taking people's money. You know, it's about ruling the world, ruling the earth, and in a very real sense. Show Darrell that God. Open his eyes to that in Jesus' name, so it can be a blessing and fall in love with Jesus. At every level, fall in love with Jesus at every level of the church, what the church is for, what it's been born for, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, everybody, I think that's it. Thank you for reminding me of that. Angel, I appreciate it. Sorry for the delay on that. In Jesus' name. All right, thank you. You're welcome. All right, everybody, pray for Charles and Nikki, you know, just keep praying for them and bless them and love them and send them a little note if you can that you're praying for them. So, all right, we will talk to you guys next week. So, we're going to end the show, and it's midnight now. We're going to finish up and all tonight. Thanks, everybody. Pray for Sharon tonight. Okay. Pray for Sharon from New York. Oh, we just pray for Sharon. Oh, we just bless her. We speak blessing over her, increase her, multiply her. God calls her to know your ways and your will and your purposes, Jesus. Amen. Comfort her, strengthen her. Give her a purpose, God, that can bring energy and strength to her body and her soul, in Jesus' name, that she will know that the Church of the Living God is alive, and that God's going to rule through the Church of Jesus Christ. It's going to be amazing. Through the true and living church, through Catholics and Baptists and Methodists and Church Christ. I don't know about Church Christ. No, I'm just kidding. Charismatic. All of us who have Jesus as our Savior. Amen. In Jesus' name, he's going to rule through that church. It's going to be awesome. And we're part of that. And when we're blessed, other people be blessed. So that I pray that she be blessed as PGN is blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're calling that. Y'all, good night.